This is the Quality News Network. Retired federal judge Michael Mukasey is President Bush's choice as U.S. Attorney General. Alberto Gonzalez vacated the post on Friday amid a scandal. Former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan warned inflation will rise about 5% in the U.S. and Europe, but so far the American economy will weather the slumping housing market without falling into a recession, Greenspan claims. Analysts expect the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates when it meets tomorrow. It will be the first time it has done so in more than 5 years. Economists say the move would aim to prevent a recession driven by a housing slowdown and crisis in the credit market. The U.S. State Department and the Iraqi government are investigating a shooting by members of Blackwater Security Contractors. The Iraqi government revoked the license of Blackwater following the death of 11 people in Iraq. 13 people were wounded in the shootout yesterday. Yesterday, sectarian violence throughout Iraq killed 54 people, primarily civilian. In addition, U.S. forces say they've arrested a man responsible for the death of an Anbar Sheikh who had been lobbying for peace in the region. In Washington, D.C., tens of thousands of demonstrators marched down Pennsylvania Avenue Saturday, demanding an end to the Iraq War. 190 protesters were arrested. Forensic teams are headed to Phuket, Thailand, to identify the charred bodies from Sunday's plane crash. 88 people died in the crash, and there are 40 survivors. Investigators located the black box in the wreckage. A meeting is scheduled today for rescue crews who have spent the past 2 weeks trying to find millionaire Steve Fawcett, who vanished in his small plane over the Nevada wilderness. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez threatened to close any private school that refuses to subscribe to his socialist government as it develops new curriculum and textbooks. Chavez's opponents accuse him of trying to indoctrinate young Venezuelans. The official prototype of the kilogram is mysteriously losing weight. The 118-year-old cylinder has lost 50 micrograms. That's about the weight of a fingerprint. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We have science and business news headed your way next. Now this.
For an insider's look at quality news coverage, be sure to read two of the latest books by award-winning journalist and author Tony Seaton. The Quality Interview and Don't Mess with the Press transport the reader into the world of journalism, including the ups and downs of network news coverage and what it's really like reporting the important events we see happening every day around the world. Don't Mess with the Press is an intriguing and engaging chronicle of Tony's early career, beginning with his start as a copy boy for ABC News back in the 1970s to working his way up to become producer of network news interviews for Barbara Walters. The Quality Interview is the definitive guide to the art of the interview. Learn interviewing basics and much more, including how to get crucial information out of even the toughest interview. For more on Don't Mess with the Press and The Quality Interview by Tony Seaton, visit our website at www.qualitynewsnetwork.com.
According to the 2007 list of threatened species, the gorilla is critically endangered. The Ebola virus is killing gorillas at an alarming rate, according to the report. The problem is compounded with commercial hunting and loss of habitat. Veterinarians say the fourth giant panda born at the San Diego Zoo is a little girl. The six-week-old cub is in good health, and pandas are one of the world's most endangered animals. Less than 180 live in captivity. Europe's second most important court today upheld a lower court's ruling accusing Microsoft of antitrust activities in the European market. Microsoft is ordered to pay $613 million and share its communications code with rivals. For the fifth time this year, China has raised interest rates in an attempt to chill the communist regime's sizzling economy and subsequent rising inflation. Interest on one-year loans are now set at 7.29%. Wall Street analysts say last week's quarterly earnings forecast for S&P 500 companies have fallen slightly. The winners for the week are healthcare and high tech. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $80.50 a barrel. And on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones is down 36 points, the NASDAQ is down 19 points, and the S&P 500 is down 7 points. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Claudia Eisman.
Okay, thank you. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Are we more than halfway done with September already? Yes, we're more than halfway done with September already. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. On the Head On Radio Network, or what I rechristened earlier this morning, the BARN. You want to know what the BARN stands for? I'll tell you what the BARN stands for. Agnes, you're not going to get mad at me, are you? I was kidding around with Joe Vecchio this morning because he saw the fundraising banner at a text website, you know, one of these websites that, yeah, I mean, they get a boatload of traffic and everything, but all they do is text. You know, somebody sits behind a computer and writes catchy little phrases for various and sundry news stories, and then, you know, they're smart and they're witty and they're quick and it's cool, and they're in the middle of their fundraiser, and they're demanding $25,000 this month from their readership. And they're just like they demanded $30,000 from their readership last month, they'll get it. Because they're kind of in your face about it, and they don't feel bad about it, and they, you know, that's just that's the way they are. They figure they need $25,000 to run a text site. Go figure. And it's a nice site. I'm not going to call them by name. I mean, it just is what it is. But you know, so and meanwhile, I sit here and I feel all wound up with guilt with trying to raise $2,000 a month just to keep us on the air. I'm sorry, I'm not griping, but no, we rechristened the show, rechristened the network this morning, Joe and I. We're no longer the Horn, we're the BARN, the Broke-Ass Radio Network. Oh, Agnes, you know I'm kidding. Don't get that ugly face on. It's just a joke. It was only a joke. It was only a joke because it's more than halfway through September and we're a little bit over $200 toward the $2,000 that we need to raise. And, you know, I mean, we got a little miracle toward the end of August and we're rooting for another little miracle in the next 13 days. And, you know, the fact of the matter is... Once things grow and, you know, listenership grows beyond what it already is, you know, maybe eventually we'll be able to start, you know, stipending the various hosts or paying for their internet service or, you know, that kind of thing and take a little bit of the monkey off people's backs. We'd really, really like to do that. And for those of you who have already done your part this month, don't feel like you're being gooned on. And for those of you who can't, not gooning on you either. Not gooning on anybody. I'm just pointing out the fact that once again, you know, this is... we ain't asking for $25,000 a month. But, you know, it would be nice. But, you know, we are... It's 13 days... And we've got 13 days to round up $1,800. So that's where that is. And it frustrates me to even have to use any time on the program to mention it. But I do. And we try to make it easy. There's a mailing address. Let me get the little magic book out with the mailing address written on it because we don't have it on the website yet. The mailing address is Head On Communications, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, Paul Mary Bubba, 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, West Virginia, 25801, if you prefer not to deal with PayPal. If you don't mind dealing with PayPal, we've got a button there at headonradionetwork.com. You can use it, select any amount you want. If you want to subscribe, we've got subscription buttons. We call them rock, paper, scissors, and hammer. For $10 a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, and $100 a month subscriptions. That way it's just, you know, set it and forget it. And that way, you know, we've also got a little bit better idea of, you know, what the income is. We don't call them donations anymore, really. We call them contributions. Because it is your support that makes this possible. And I'm sorry to start the show with this. I'll get into some meat here in a minute. But the fact of the matter is, I worry. Agnes worries. Wayne worries. We all worry. Because we are living from month to month here. And that's just the way it is. And so, you know, October's coming. In October, we got to crank it up and do it all over again. We squeaked past August, and hopefully we will squeak past September too. We will get our new monthly bill. It'll generate today, as a matter of fact. It'll be due upon receipt. And the other bills that we're just paying taking care of as we're able to. So, you know, my apologies. I hope you're okay with me mentioning this, but, you know, it is what it is. Now, the other piece of news that is programming related is that I will not be here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and quite possibly next Monday. It is unavoidable. I've got to run back down to Alabama to deal with some more estate stuff and load up a U-Haul truck and bring a bunch more stuff up here before the weather gets too bad, and deal with some of the legal paperwork that is the misery of executing an estate. So I'll be gone all the rest of this week and possibly Monday, although I'll try to be back in the chair Monday night. I hope I will. I plan on it. But rather than subjecting you to night after night after night litany of reruns of me, I like me live. I don't know about you. I prefer me live. I thought, you know, gosh, it'd be nice if we had somebody to fill in. And you know what? We've got somebody to fill in. And I think it'll come as a bit of a surprise to you. God willing, the crick don't rise. After Peter Godbold's Strictly Confidential show this evening, we're going to get it all teched out. And your host for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday will be none other than the inimitable Bruce Birch. Bruce being a good friend of the show who took his life in some different directions and started his business back up again. And he works regular guys' hours now. But he's able to come along on an as-needed basis. I've also sent a note out to Dr. Bill O'Brien. I've mentioned it to Peter Godbold, and I've mentioned it to John Fox as well. It could be a veritable horn host free-for-all during the 3 hours between 6 and 9 p.m. Tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. Now, I keep saying tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday because Friday, Friday, we're pretty much all reruns after Joe Vecchio's show closes, simply because the U-Haul truck will be arriving home. I'll be a couple of days behind it, but the U-Haul will be arriving home, and, you know, once you get that thing, you got to get it unloaded and get it back, or, you know, you incur more charges. So, you know, Agnes is going to be cracking the whip, and we'll get a whole bunch of stuff from my father's house unloaded into the storage building behind the house. So I hope you will not turn away because I'm not here, because Bruce is wonderful at what he does, and I think you will enjoy those 3 hours each night a great deal indeed. Call him, talk to him. He's somebody new, you know, sort of new, and he was much beloved when he ran a daily show here at the Horn, So I hope you'll jump on board. We'll probably be hearing from Bruce sometime during the show this evening. He and I always had a great deal of enjoyable repartee. So, you know, that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and instead of reruns, you've got something really, really, really new and different. I mean, who knows? He and John Fox may get together for a sort of a Beatles-esque reunion of what was once the Fourth Estate on Saturday nights here on the Horn. The second show ever added to the Horn, as a matter of fact, was Fourth Estate. So that's all the housekeeping, business doing kind of stuff. Thank you very much for your contributory support. We all appreciate it, and you know, if we can hit our goal before the end of September, we will all be breathing a whole lot easier. If you can't, don't worry about it. It's okay. We'll find a way. We always do. Let's see. Where to start? Oh, you know who I hate? Yeah, let's start with some hatred. You know who I hate? I hate Alan Greenspan. Alan Greenspan has written a book. I'm sure you may have seen some excerpt from it over the weekend. And in the book, he says that it's a shame that the Bush administration and the Republican Party don't have the intellectual honesty to admit that the Iraq war was about the oil. And it's one of those moments where you just you can bash your toe absolutely black and blue purple, kicking the cabinet, kicking the wall. Because, you see, the thing is, Alan Greenspan knew it was about the oil when Alan Greenspan was still chairman of the Fed, when Alan Greenspan was still in government, when Alan Greenspan was... you get the idea. Alan Greenspan knew it was about the oil at the same time that us liberals, us progressives, us decent human beings were out in the complaining, writing letters to the editor, marching in the streets, whatever. You remember the huge march there before the war? It's not like nobody tried to stop this misery. And we kept saying, no blood for oil, no blood for oil. And the right wing, ha, 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 look at them dumb old liberals. They think the Iraq war's about the oil. When obviously it's not about the oil. It's a carefully calculated foreign policy principle of ending tyranny against an evildoer who gassed his own people and had weapons of mass destruction and wanted to kill George's daddy. It wasn't about the oil. It's not about the oil. You simpletons, you think everything's about the oil. How dare you? Why won't you support the truth? Why do you hate America? And the whole time that the right wing is pumping out all that filth, there sits Alan Greenspan, chairman of the Federal Reserve, who knew then that it was all about the oil. Entirely about the oil. But Alan Greenspan didn't say anything then because he enjoyed his position at the Federal Reserve. Say what you will about the Federal Reserve. I mean, it just is what it is. But he liked being the boss of the Federal Reserve. He liked moving in that Tony company of highfalutin Republicans, moving around in the reptile elite. And he sat there in his silence. A man who carried such prestige, who carried such an aura of expertise under Republicans and Democrats alike. He had done what is seen by many as having been a rather masterful job of running the Federal Reserve. One of those voices who, had he stepped out and said something, you know, something being along the lines of, hey, this war's about the oil. This war is a fraud. I'll quit my job, and the entire economy can go down the crapper for all I care if we don't not go to war. Yeah, or if we go to war. I'm sorry, I got that backwards. I have such ethics and such principles and morals that I will step down as chairman of the Federal Reserve if George Bush persists in his determined effort to start a war in Iraq and an occupation following that is based on fraudulent pretenses. Could have done that. He could have done that. But he didn't. He was complicit in his silence, Alan Greenspan was. But now he's 81 years old and he's written a memoir, and I guess, you know, he's got a nice little advance on it. What are you going to do with all the millions of dollars he's going to make off this book when you're 81 years old? I mean, you know, this isn't it's a little late to buy a castle in Spain, isn't it, Alan? It's a little bit late to go shushing down the slopes in Switzerland. I mean, I'm not gooning on the octogenarians or anything at all, but, you know, why do you wait till you're 81? Why do you wait till the barn is on fire? Why do you wait till the horses are already gone? The thing is crumbling. The barn is coming to... I think I'll close the barn door now, Mabel! Why? What in the hell is wrong with this country? Why couldn't he say that before the war started? Why couldn't he say that before some 4,000 American soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, men, women, uncles, cousins, aunts, mommies, daddies, brothers, and sisters were slaughtered in the stinking, dirty, bloody, filthy sands of the meat grinder that is Iraq? Why couldn't he do that then? Why couldn't he save all those lives? Why couldn't he be a hero? Why couldn't he be a patriot? Why? I'll tell you why. He couldn't say any of that until now. Because now is when the book deal is out. Now is when the book is out. If you're Alan Greenspan, you don't act from morals. If you're Alan Greenspan, you don't act from ethics. If you're Alan Greenspan, you act on a pure, you know, because you know he was a boy toy for Ayn Rand in his younger years, right? He was one of Ayn Rand's little boy toys. Urf, I know, Agnes, I know. But he was. And for them, ethics and morals, out the window. Baby, it is about the money. I mean, this is Cuba Gooding Jr. and Tom Cruise jumping up and down in that locker room screaming, "Show me the money." And it's a hell of a lot more obscene than anything that occurred in Jerry Maguire. In that naked, aggressive drive for cash, for the dough, for the show, for the bling. Much more so. Show me the money! Say it with me, Alan. Show me the money. Well, what do I got to do to get the money? Well, you just wait until you're out of office, Alan Greenspan, and then you can tell us that you knew all along that the war was a war about oil. Show me the money. I don't know about you, but it just pisses me off to no end to watch these people do this. Whether it's generals who are safely ensconced in their pensions and retired, who then stand up and say, "Well, you know, at the same time that we were executing George Bush's war strategy, we were pretty sure it was flawed. We understood. We knew what was going to happen. I mean, we're military people. We study them all these things all the time. I mean, this is what we do because we're military. We're generals. We study this kind of thing, and we have policy institutes and think tanks. And all of our people came back and said, you know, it's going to be a disaster, this Iraq war. But we, you know, we couldn't say anything then because he is the commander in chief. He's an excellent driver. Drive slow on the driveway." And so they wait while other people bleed and die. Reminds me of a quote from none other than Henry Kissinger. Way back in 1973, Kissinger and Alexander Haig, Nixon's chief of staff, were chatting. And Kissinger said, military men are, and this is a quote, dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns for foreign policy. Dumb, stupid animals. They are dumb, stupid animals. We will have our foreign policy, and the dumb, stupid animals will make the foreign policy work for us. Hey, don't blame me. Blame Kissinger. I'm sure if there was some conservative listening right now, why does that Bob hate the troops? If he loved the troops like he ought to, he wouldn't be reminding them that Republicans use them as pawns or something. Henry Kissinger to Al Haig, soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines are dumb, stupid animals. And you know what? Alan Greenspan would probably echo that sentiment because Alan Greenspan sat silent while they were taken out and led to their deaths from the snipers and IEDs and shaped charges. You notice we've gone from calling them IEDs to calling them shaped charges now because that makes it sound a little bit more Iranian. Dumb, stupid animals.
Mein Führer, I can walk.
You know that the Dr. Strangelove character in Dr. Strangelove was modeled on Henry Kissinger, right? It was. So Alan Greenspan makes the long walk to the mailbox every 30 days and cashes that retirement check. He's got the best socialized medicine available on the planet. He is surrounded by everything he could possibly ever want. And the only argument that you can make that is even remotely moral about this is that this is some level of expiation for Alan Greenspan. That it's some level of mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa as he stands drenched in the blood that was generated by his complicit silence. That Alan Greenspan, like Lady Macbeth, stands rubbing a blank place on his palm where all he sees is blood and mutters and mumbles to himself, out, out, damned spot. Me, I hate to say this about somebody of his advanced age, but I would just assume that somebody ball batted him and threw him in a dumpster in a back alley somewhere after this. God knows he earned it. I mean, I guess that's cruel on my part. I guess that's mean. I guess that's hateful. But Jesus, is there anybody out there that actually thinks that this just dawned on Alan Greenspan? That the light just went on for Alan Greenspan? That he just figured it out that it was about the oil? That he didn't notice during the initial shock and awe part of the invasion, that we went lickety-split to guard the Iraqi oil ministry while rabble rampaged through the Iraqi division of antiquities, where clay tablets were stored that held the very first evidence of human written communication, that those things were thrown on the floor and scattered into the dust from which they had originally been made, while we sent our blood, while we sent our treasure to guard the Iraqi oil ministry, and Alan Greenspan didn't notice. I have a growing distaste and a growing lack of tolerance for hindsight. You know, the saying is that hindsight is 20/20. Well, I'm tired of 20/20 hindsight. I'd like to have some 20/20 foresight. The sad thing is, a bunch of us had that 2020 foresight. We predicted this all along, and we were told we were fools. We were America haters. We were moon bats. We didn't love Merca. We was just Bush haters. But we predicted it. We predicted every last blessed iota of it. And yet none of us are millionaires. You know, we went over some of this with Eric Bollert the other night from Media Matters for America. Friedman? People still take Thomas Friedman at face value. The Charles Krauthammer? People still take him at face value. And these people have been professionally wrong. They've been wrong about everything. Robert Novak, wrong about everything. They're all millionaires. And nobody ever calls and says, listen, you've been, listen, Mr. Friedman, you've been so wrong about so many things. I tell you what, you've got to go. You've just got to leave. We're not going to publish you anymore. You're just crazy. You make crap up and you lie. And the stuff you lie about, even though you're lying, you still get it wrong. God Almighty. It's just astonishing, isn't it? So, you know, Alan Greenspan, here's a great big fickle finger of fate for you, buddy. Whatever time you have left on this planet, I suggest you spend it on your knees begging forgiveness from Jehovah or Yahweh or Allah or the doorknob or whatever passes for some sort of spiritual manifestation that has the power to forgive your rotten ass. Because the world does not have room for the kind of after-the-fact evil that Alan Greenspan has manifested. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. Hey, you and me, we're not going to get to talk for a few days. Better line them up. Light them up. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. Or on your nickel if you want to save us a buck or two. 304-658-5453. This is America's liberal voice. This is the voice that you helped create. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tired of walking on eggshells? Trying to do everything right, hoping that one day you'll be able to marry like everyone else? I'm sick of it too. Frankly, we don't give a damn if sexuality is inherited or acquired. We will no longer participate in an endless audition for the constitutional right of equal protection under the law. Strictly Confidential, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed three brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, one-third of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I thank you.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place, singing, we will rock you. We will rock you.
23 before the hour, we probably should have moved up and paused up a little bit further into the song. Just for Alan Greenspan, the line about you got blood on your face. Love this. God bless you, Freddie Mercury, wherever you are. Let's go to the phones. Kate is calling from the road, Montana, perhaps? You there, Kate?
Yes, I am in Montana. I'm in Helena. You loaded up the porch so big on Friday, I didn't get in from Utah, so there you go.
Well, we wanted you to hurry on through Utah anyway.
Oh, God.
Somebody, you know,
no, and
if you'd slowed down, some polygamist might have pulled up and married up with you or something.
Right. I did something kind of in memory. I thought maybe it would make your heart flutter a little bit. I went up to the top of, I don't know the name of the mountain range, but where Lee Steep Moon got stuck in the blizzard overnight.
Oh, yeah.
At Cedar Breaks. Yes, I went up there. I looked at the map and thought, I don't want to go through Vegas because I'm reading The Stand for about the 20th time, and just the idea of being around Las Vegas just kind of gave me the jitters, and I just thought I'd go up through Page and up across the Vermilion Cliffs and that way. And I looked at that, I saw Highway 14 and 143, and I thought, oh man, that is cool. So I stopped in Flagstaff at the library, went to the stayed at my favorite rest area in that part of the country, and I went to the library and got the book out and checked the route to see where he was at, and it's changed considerably since he's been there, but I just went up there about 10,000 feet and camped overnight. There wasn't a sign of a snowflake, but, you know, you can't have everything. But I thought, oh, Bob would appreciate this.
Well, I'm sitting here looking at the postcard right now.
Oh, did it come already?
Yeah. All
right. Anyway, there's not a blizzard in sight. It's getting cold in Montana, but not too much. And the other thing I wanted to do, you loaded up the porch so big, was to call you from Wales. I didn't think you'd ever gotten a call from Wales. But the more I looked at the map, I thought, oh, God, it's a dirt road clear down there, and there might not even be a town left. And so that was just my big drama for the week.
I'd love to have had it, but, you know, how would you have even known if there was even cell service there? Yeah, so.
Having what?
Cell phone service.
Oh, that's right. I
there may not be anything left.
Last night I was going to call from another exotic place called Wisdom, Montana. It's just right around the Big Hole massacre grounds where the Nez Perce got Chief Joseph got slaughtered and all of his grandmas and the kids and everything. Anyway, I got up on the rest, at the rest area at Divide, and the smoke, the big forest fires are down in southern Montana, and the smoke was so thick that the visibility was reduced from 100 miles to 4, and but there was no cell phone service up there, and I didn't know that, so I came on into Helena. So anyway, and I'm glad that you brought up the money, because when I started out, I thought, oh, I can just, I'm living in abundance. I always have everything I need. So what I'm going to do is play, I'm going to play with my funds for the rest of the month. And I allotted this much for gas and whatever. So what I did, I way overshot, I way overestimated. And what I have left at the end of this week, I'm going to send in my donation. Because I drove 60 miles an hour and got, with a good tailwind, it got 30 miles to the gallon instead of 24. So that saved a tremendous amount of gas.
No, but see, Kate, stop, dear. Stop.
What? I'm playing.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can't go, hauling around, over half the country. I mean, see, okay, don't, this is the kind of thing that worries me.
I know. Stop it. I'm not sending my money in for a prayer cloth, okay? Shut up. I said.
I can give you one.
Oh, my God. I'm playing. I wanted to see how much money. I'm just not buying a lot of coffee because it all went up to $1.56 instead of $75 for a thermos. And so I thought, okay, I can drink instant coffee. I'm eating out of my cooler, which I always do. I'm just being really, really careful and watching. I'm not doing without anything. I'm just being very careful. The reason I brought this up is because a lot of us spend an inordinate amount of money just on impulse stuff. And I thought, I'm going to see how much money I can save on this trip, even though I'm out on the highway. I want to see how much money I can save and how much I'll have left over. And it's going to be like $40 or $50. And I just thought that was so cool. And it's not like you're so worried about the grandmas sending in their Social Security checks and, you know, and going without food. Eating cat food. Have you priced cat food recently?
Yes.
No, we don't.
It's more expensive than the salmon. Yes, I did notice.
Yes. And the salmon is only $1 a can.
And the salmon's more expensive than the mackerel.
Well, yeah, it should be, shouldn't it? At the dollar store?
Yeah.
I mean, I buy people salmon at the dollar store for $2 a can. Mackerel's 98, and I'd rather eat salmon. So, I mean, you know, there's all ways to save money, and it goes for a good cause, because I spent most of the summer sitting on my ass in the heat on the chat room, not being able to send, you know, not send anybody. You know, we have such a gift here with the Head On Network, and I just feel like I ought to be paying for it. You know, we're very well connected here, and you just had to get off on Greenspan and Ayn Rand, huh? But I
well, you know, I mean, there's a visual there, Kate, that I just can't. I can barely stand to contemplate.
Oh yeah, he's
well, she was no beauty queen. Okay, even at her best.
Well, a whole bunch of us aren't. So, I mean, you know, bless her heart. She could write good fiction, I thought. I just reporting from the road, like the reporter at large, climate change is, in fact, happening. Oh, Lord have mercy, it's happening. All the way up here, I took the route that I usually take, and I've noticed that the ponds, the reservoirs, the stock ponds and the pastures, the reservoirs behind the dams, the hydroelectric reservoirs, all of the lakes, they're down from 25 to 50 feet.
Jesus.
The marinas are, the piers and the marinas and the boat launch docks, the boat docks, are all laying out in the mud. I mean, given it's the fall, the water should be down, but not, you know, Lake Mead is down about 50 feet. There's just no water around here.
I was going to ask you, based upon my geographic ignorance, what kind of temperatures you're experiencing, first day with the rented lips, I'm sorry, what kind of temperatures you're experiencing in Helena?
I don't know, but I have a barometer. I have a red Cardinals, I guess it's from some team in Arizona, I don't know who they are, Cardinals hoodie sweatshirt, and I've used it for about 6 years as a barometer. If it's too warm for the sweatshirt, I need to go to a higher elevation. If it's too cold for the sweatshirt, I need to get just a little bit further south. And so I've been wearing the hoodie for about 4 days. I don't know, it didn't freeze last night, but I imagine it's down in the 40s, and it's cloudy and crisp today. It feels like in about a week and a half or 2 weeks, there's going to be some snow on the higher peaks here, but that climate, I mean, it's kind of a typical fall day in Helena. The leaves aren't changing yet as fast as they should be, but, you know, feels a little bit warmer to me than it should be, but that's not the, you know, the global thing is, it's not just what the daily temperatures are, it's the overall big picture that I've been watching for about the last 6 years, and the water levels are just horrible. And I mentioned on Peter's show the bark beetle is decimating the forest, and because the larva, they bore into the trees, and then when the hard freeze comes, the freeze kills the larva, and then the beetles go away, you know, and then they come back next year and they do it all over again. Well, they're not getting killed by hard freezes, and so the forests all through northern Arizona are just the pine trees are just dying. The Kaibab forest looks awful. I heard a BBC news report the other day that 85% of the forests in British Columbia are going to be dead. Are we still picked up?
Yep, we are. Yeah, you've got good service now. It's not like you're standing out in the desert or something.
Peter said the other night, well, anyway, 85% of the forests in British Columbia are going to be gone in 5 years, and that just breaks my heart. I mean, that's totally beyond my comprehension. I mean, I can't imagine that. So, yeah, Peter said the other day about my phone connection. He said, this is really cool. You're not standing out in the desert in a dust storm looking for a bar. Well, I've got solid bars on my phone and 5 bars on my broadband, and my God, I can't believe it. This is weird. I told you you'd be sorry when I get phone connection because I never shut up. So I know you've got people queued up, and I'm going to miss you this week, but have a good trip to Alabama, and keep it between the ditches, and thank you for being able for putting up the equipment that could hook up Jim and Alan and Preston and I with Peter. I mean, oh my God, I kind of asked Agnes, I said, that's Peter's parlor. not
Peter's parlor, that's good.
Perfect. Peter's parlor, yes. And weren't we a crew? Oh, my God.
It was amazing. It was astonishing. And I will say in some candor that Agnes was a little frazzled.
Yeah.
I mean, she was playing Casey Jones' engineer.
Uh-huh.
Playing, you know, with the sliders on the mixer and everything, because levels are different from one caller to the next, so it was up and then down and then up and then down. But it was zany. It was wonderful.
Wonderful job she did. I mean, and Peter did a good job of herding us. I mean, I talk over everybody, and Alan doesn't hardly talk at all unless you ask him a question. He's so polite, you know.
Well, that happens to us down in Alabama. You know, we're raised that way.
You're raised right. Okay, speaking of Alabama, I wanted to share with you. On 9/11 is a humongous day in the life of our culture. It was the day that Bear Bryant and Tom Landry were born, and I thought, okay, from now on, I'm going to celebrate Bear Bryant, Tom Landry's birthdays on 9/11 instead of all this other boo-hoo shit that, you know.
You could do a lot worse, Kate. You could do a lot worse.
You got Bear Bryant did more for this culture, for my country, and so did Tom Landry, than all of this brouhaha that's going on with the towers coming down. You know, I said we had that coming. And God, I shouldn't have said that on the air.
Well, you know, I've mentioned from time to time, Kate, our good friend Eugene Finnerman over at FinnermanWorks.com, a brilliant satirist, and he was pointing out in his post today, he was talking about one of the heirs of Charlemagne, who basically in 9/11 A.D., the year 9/11, surrendered to the Vikings. And allowed the in the hopes that they would just settle down and become productive citizens, basically basically ceded northwest France to the Vikings. And I couldn't help commenting on his post. It's amazing how something that a wimpy king did on 9/11 in 9/11 AD could have an impact on a talk show host in the 21st century. Because thanks to, you know, thanks to what he did, letting those heathen barbarian Vikings settle down, somewhere way back in the dim and distant mists of time, the forebears of Agnes settled in northern France. And and so then in 1993, I married me up a Viking. And you know, when we have a disagreement, it's like a thousand years. Just go away, and you know, out comes the braids, and out comes the little helmet with the pointy horns on the top, and you know, the right. Pillage and plunder all over again.
I know. You could have done worse.
You know, it reminds me of Elmer Fudd in What's Opera Doc singing, "Oh, Brunhilde, you're so lovely." Yeah, it's Agnes, you know.
You leave Agnes alone. She's got to produce Peter yet today.
Yeah, and she's got something in her hand to hit me with too.
You just
see, she's going to bust out and go all Viking on me in a minute.
You kids try to get along here now. Anyway, you'll be missed, but you're doing good work on this week, and it'll be a rough ride down there. I bet it's going to be a tough week for you, but
it's going to be a little bit unpleasant and a whole lot of hard work. But some of this stuff just has to be done.
Yeah. Well.
And by the way, don't. You've never heard Bruce Birch before. I think you'll. You'll be tickled.
No.
I think you'll like Bruce a lot.
In, yeah, he called in one night. Some general from. I don't know. I forget what you.
Oh yeah, Colonel Beauregard T. Cornpone.
Yeah. Right. Oh my God, who is this person? Yeah, I'll be listening because I got broadband. I got me an adapter so I can plug it into my car radio, my car battery. I have a question, a tech question. Can I run my car battery? I mean, when I plug the computer adapter in, into the cigarette lighter, into the computer, and I'm powering the battery, you know, charging the battery, is it okay to drive while I'm doing that?
Oh, gosh, yes. It's better to drive because then you're pulling power off the alternator. If you're just sitting there, you're pulling it off the battery.
Yeah, okay. And it's got a beep that lets me know that the battery's getting lower, you know, that it needs to be.
Now, you might want to check your little gizmo and make sure it's a little micro. I've got one, too. I found mine at Radio Shack. It's a little micro inverter. So it conditions, you know, just like certain generators, it conditions the power going to your computer, and surges and stuff can't cook it.
Oh. Well. What would surge in my car battery?
Well, power does that. I mean, you're asking the wrong guy. I'm no engineer, but you know.
Well, okay.
I think you'll be all right.
I just don't want to be riding down the road and frying my computer unknowingly. You know what I mean? So I should ask. I should wait and have Alan call in Peter's parlor and ask him about it. I'm sure he's got some kind of business going on in his truck and whatnot. So anyway, well, I appreciate all the time. I mean, we've talked way too long.
No, we haven't.
If it weren't for my friends, people think, how could she travel all over the country and doing this, and she's got computer and broadband and all that? Well, I have a friend who donates the cell phone and the broadband as part of my Katrina work. She said, I can't do anything about it but throw money at it. What do you need? And I said, well, it'd be nice to be hooked up. And she said, all right. So she pays for the broadband and the cell phone every month, so part I can go down there and do Katrina work and stay Katrina relief and stay hooked up. And so, see, we live in abundance. I don't spend that much money on stuff.
And a network, in abundance with a network of angels.
Yes, I have angels that give me everything I need whenever I need it, and sometimes I don't even have to ask for it, and I get the stuff. So anyway, the chat room uses up too much battery, so I don't go in the chat room. I think that's right, isn't it? The more stuff you put on the computer, the more it drains the battery.
Yeah, if you're just running on the battery, sure.
Yeah, okay, well, that's why I'm not in the chat room then. I probably won't be there until I get someplace else back east, so... Anyway, I'm out of here, and y'all have a good time in Alabama.
You stay between the ditches, too.
You too. Talk to you next week.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Kate.
Bye-bye.
And onward to our good friend Susan calling from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
What's up?
Okay, I got some homework for people. I spent some time on the phone calling senators today. I'm good at that.
To be specific,
I called Senator Webb's office. It seemed that he introduced a bill to prohibit, the title of it is a bill to prohibit the use of funds for military operations in Iran.
Well, well, well.
Said bill is currently languishing, of course. Now, the number of it is S as in Sam, or Senate, 759.
Okay, S-4759?
No, S-759.
Okay, got it now.
Now, the House version of this bill, it has an identical version of the bill. It's H-R-3119.
H-R-3119.
Right, and that was introduced by Mark Udall. I would suggest you get everybody get on the phones tomorrow to their Congress critters and say, I want you to co-sponsor this.
Did you check to see who has co-sponsored?
I checked, and as of now, I haven't checked the House bill, but I did check the Webb bill. So far, nobody has. I'm going to be on the phone again tomorrow.
Oh yeah, no kidding. Nice to see the Democrats are out there trying to. Mm-hmm. Don't get me started.
Yeah, don't get me started either. There was one other reason I called.
Okay.
I want to stick up for Move On.
Well, yeah, me too. I got no problem
Everybody's
with that ad.
Taking shots at Move On. Damn it, they said the exact honest to God truth.
Yeah.
When you are sworn into the military, you take an oath to the Constitution. You don't take it to the President, you take an oath to the Constitution. He betrayed that oath.
It would seem more than apparent that he has, Susan. But then again, how many before him have done it? I mean, I'm not excusing his conduct. And I don't have a problem with the Move On ad. I remember Ileana Ross Renheitsgebot, or whatever her name is, from Florida. I want to give the Democrats a chance to put some distance between themselves and this reprehensible ad. And I don't know who it was, but somebody spoke up and said, you know, I don't have to put any distance between myself and something I didn't author. But, you know, the Republicans don't understand that. And that's the thing, Susan. Everything is politics with them. As our good friend Wayne has repeatedly said, Republicans don't have off years.
Exactly.
Everything is an opportunity for an attack.
But by the same token, when the Democrats were down the furthest, when Bill Clinton was being impeached, who was it that stood up to the Democrats? It wasn't the Democrats themselves. It was Move On.
Yeah. I mean, that was the genesis of Move On.
Exactly. Move On has been the driving force behind the grassroots movement that has basically swept over this country. And now these Democratic candidates are turning on Move On? Oh, no, you don't. Edward's wife has already come out and blasted Move On. She got blasted back by me. It's up on Sandham.
Oh, time after time, and I've even heard so-called liberals and progressives saying, "Oh, it was a bad thing to do." You know, you can't attack the general. Yeah, you can. When the general's wrong, the general needs attacking. I mean, if you can't do anything about it, can you imagine Abraham Lincoln sitting there dealing with General McClellan, who would not fight?
Yeah.
If he'd had the Washington Press Corps, and if he'd had the Republican Party of today, you can't attack General McClellan.
He's a soldier.
Right. He was a loser.
Exactly. Now, when are these Democratic candidates going to get it through their heads that no matter what they do or what they say, they're going to be called names by the Bushies?
Sure. There's no way not to.
They sit there and never say a word. They're still going to be called names.
If Harry Reid ran into a burning building and carried out the smoke-covered carcass of that hateful old beast Barbara Bush and saved her rotten life, the next day Rush Limbaugh would be calling him a communist-enabling liberal pinko sympathizer.
So what I want to know is when are the Democrats going to develop enough spine to realize it doesn't matter and, hey, start calling a few names back when it's the truth?
I know. I don't share this stuff. Every now and then I get an email saying, you know, you're too harsh, Bob. You know, you call names.
We're not half harsh enough.
No. No, we're not.
This campaign is going to get real dirty real fast.
Eric Bollert pointed this out Friday night, didn't he, Susan? He said, if a Republican comes out and, a Michelle Malkin, an Ann Coulter, comes out and says something vicious and vile, if Glenn Beck calls Mrs. Edwards a prostitute...
Uh-huh.
Or some such. Well, you know, they're just being tough Republicans.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if a Democrat or a liberal or a progressive comes out and says something like Barbara Bush is a hateful old beast, well, you know, we're name calling. You know, that's just a diminution of the civil discourse. See, that's why America's in the shape it's in. It's all these name calling liberals.
And just to put it in exact terms. They're complaining about a ad where it said General Petraeus, and they say, well, you're calling Petraeus a traitor. Okay. What senator got up on the floor of the House and floor of the Senate and demanded the use of the 14th Amendment to strip Dennis Kucinich of his House seat?
Sure. Well,
you can do that is convict him of treason.
Again.
You call him a traitor.
It's a double standard. The Republicans can do it all day long. They get away with it.
It's time to treat these people like the bullies they are. You haul off and sock him in the nose.
And then he's not a bully anymore. Sure.
Exactly.
Susan, thanks so much, dear. We're off to
the... in the nuts.
See... There you go. See, you're a mean liberal.
You're damn right I am.
All right, you have a good night. We'll talk soon, okay?
Drive careful on your trip.
I sure will. Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
And we will head off to the news and come back to the phones. I'm not going to hear from you guys for a while, so, you know, chime in, ring up, let your voice be heard. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
They're trying to tell me your belief. Your point of view is pretty strict to me. Do this, do that, on track. Do me a favor and don't talk back. Round and round in the conversation. Always ends where it begins. Round and round and I need a vacation. I got a headache from you. China. Don't want to hear your question. I'm sick of all the noise. Nothing you say.
This is the Quality News Network. Retired federal judge Michael Mukasey is President Bush's choice to be U.S. Attorney General, the post vacated by Alberto Gonzalez. Former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan warned inflation will rise about 5% in the U.S. and Europe. However, he says it looks like the American economy will weather the slumping housing market without falling into a recession. Analysts expect the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates when it meets tomorrow. It'll be the first time it's done so in more than 4 years. Economists say the aim would be to prevent a recession driven by the credit crunch and housing slowdown. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice promises a fair and transparent investigation into the shooting deaths of 8 Iraqi civilians by Blackwater security contractors. The Iraqi government ordered Blackwater to leave the country, putting more of a strain on U.S. forces. Weekend sectarian violence throughout Iraq killed 54 people, primarily civilian. In addition, U.S. forces say they've arrested a man responsible for the death of an Anbar sheikh lobbying for peace in the region. France's Prime Minister François Fillon today said everything must be done to avoid the prospect of war with Iran. That comment was made just a day after his foreign minister said Paris and the world should prepare for the possibility of war with Iran over its nuclear program. Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf says he will resign from the military in order to run for re-election in November. The general seized power in a coup 8 years ago. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez threatened to close any private school that refuses to subscribe to his socialist government as it develops a new curriculum and textbooks. Chavez's opponents accuse him of trying to indoctrinate young Venezuelans. Women in Saudi Arabia have banded together for the first time to petition their king for the right to drive. Their supporters say it is a social issue and not a political or religious issue. Forensic teams are headed to Phuket, Thailand, to identify the charred bodies from Sunday's plane crash. 88 people died in the crash, and there are 40 survivors. Investigators located the black box in the wreckage. Rescue crews who've spent the past 2 weeks trying to find missing millionaire Steve Fawcett scaled back their operations today. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
As the world moves to the Internet for marketing, promotion, sales, and communications, it is important to stake out your presence, your business, or yourself in an effective way. The people at Byte Technology know how to define your best self on the web so that people who know you and those who will want to can get a clear picture of who you are and what you have to offer. Byte Technology will design your website so that you will attract new customers and keep your current client base engaged and informed. As McLuhan said, the medium is the message. And never was that more true than in the new Internet commerce world. Whatever your business, selling products or services, to the general public or to a niche market, you need a presence that smart people, the people who make the best customers, can find quickly and understand immediately. Byte Technology will custom produce such a site for you. Byte Technology. See the difference at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
The newest study on hand washing finds that about 33% of men and 12% of women don't bother to wash their hands after using the bathroom. Researchers spied on people in public restrooms for the data. Basic hand washing is the best way to avoid sickness from colds, flu, and food poisoning. According to the 2007 list of threatened species, the gorilla is critically endangered. The Ebola virus is killing gorillas at an alarming rate. The problem's compounded by commercial hunting and loss of habitat. Europe's second most important court today upheld a lower court's ruling accusing Microsoft of antitrust activities in the European market. Microsoft is ordered to pay $613 million and share its communications code with rivals. For the fifth time this year, China has raised interest rates in an attempt to chill the communist regime's sizzling economy and subsequent rising inflation. Interest on one-year loans is now set at 7.29%. Light sweet crude is trading at $80.57 a barrel. Gold is at $723.80 an ounce. That's up $6 an ounce. And the Dow ended down 39 points at 13,403. The Nasdaq closed down 21 points. The S&P down 8. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. I'm just sitting here going through the mail. And I'm just astonished by some of the things that I see. You guys tickle me to pieces. One box showed up in the mail. One box showed up in the mail. Let me see. What's the name of the book?
This is perfect.
Agnes is, it's red, The Little Book of Stress. Calm is for wimps. Get real. Get stressed. Let's see. Rejoice in, this isn't to calm you down, this is to stress you out. A frown will never let you down. A frown communicates both disapproval of others and unhappiness within yourself. Rejoice in small print. Small print annoys everyone. The people who read it, the people who don't read it, even the people who write it. Turnip! One day a week, eat only turnips. No butter!
No, there's even
more. And then there was the little package of Jesus pencil toppers. And beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Then I open another box. And I want to direct you to a website because there's some beautiful stuff here. I want to direct you to liberaljewelry.com, progressivemeltdown.com, and Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, hyphen international.com. Jesse is a worker in precious metals and a maker of jewelry. And I'm sitting here looking at the most drop-dead gorgeous belt buckle. And you know what it says? Yeah, I'm going to put this on the belt to go to Alabama. Says liberal.
I'll have to come dig you up.
And Agnes has already put on this beautiful, beautiful silver necklace. That again says liberal.
Thank you.
Oh, she's got tears in her eyes, and I've got chill bumps. Jesse writes and says, I originally heard about you on the Mike Malloy show. I've been listening now for a few months. I really respect what you're doing, and feel you're an important voice, and I'd like to thank you. Jesse says, I'm a silversmith and a musician. I've enclosed a couple of pieces. One for me, one for Agnes, and from my first production line, Liberal Jewelry, and a copy of my newest record. Check out Empathy and Anything for a Change. This disc is just too cool. I can't wait to get. I just got it. I got it in here because I was over in Beckley at the mailbox today. We'll get this loaded in immediately. Jesse says, I think you'll dig it. Check it all out and feel free to play any of it too. Just wanted to send you a little piece of me because I feel like your show, because I feel like with your show you're giving a lot of you to me. Thanks, Bob. Your fellow liberal, Jesse. Oh, I can't wait. We'll get this loaded in and get a track played this evening so you can hear some of it. Just astonishing. I never cease to be amazed by what comes across my soul with you guys. And just in the last hour, I should tell you, we went from just over $200 for the month of September to just over $300 for the month of September. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very sincerely. LiberalJewelry.com. Go buy. This necklace is beautiful, and the belt buckle is just. This is gonna go over so cool.
And when are we having the drawing for Alan?
So I'm just kind of blown away right now. I'm astonished. Again, jesse-international.com, liberaljewelry.com, and progressivemeltdown.com. You guys just thrill me to pieces. I feel like I ought to take a break and just sort of... So, there we are. Now, let's get back to the phones. Albert is waiting and has been waiting patiently. Hey, Albert, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm good, you?
Well, you know how it is. But,
yeah, I do.
Pretty eventful weekend, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Just depending on which way you want to slice it.
Well, Hillary Clinton's got a new health plan. Isn't that exciting?
And a new general.
Oh, and a new general, I think we all know that that's just simply payback from the last campaign that he was running in 2004. I don't know. Either way, I'm not very impressed with it. And I really don't see in terms of grassroots people, like the normal people that I run into.
But I got
to
tell you, I
don't see them.
I would take Wes Clark over General Petraeus, or who was the Air Force goober, Richard Meyer.
Yeah.
Or Peter Pace. Any day of the week. Because
I would too. I mean, but you know, just that. Well, that makes me reminded of the Move On article, which or the ad. You know, and everybody gets all in an uproar, right? So, but you can't criticize a general because you know they're the pinnacle of patriotism, I guess. But you can criticize the guys on the ground, like the sergeants who now, three of them are dead now, that wrote that New York Times op-ed on their view on the war. You can criticize them and, you know, denounce their character and everything else, but you can't do it to a general. It's just the hypocrisy is unbelievable.
So shall we just say now, Albert, that generals have been raised to the level of bishops or archbishops or something? They're beyond reproach?
In our culture of war, you bet. You bet. I mean, and it's like every time I hear about these generals, I'm just reminded of that scene from Starship Troopers. You ever seen that film?
Yeah, I have.
The first one. Where, you know, they go to attack the bugs, and it's a big goof-up, and it's a big mess-up. And the only reason that I keep seeing that image is because we never see it here. Is when that was a big goof up and a big mess up, what they call him, the air marshal or what have you, he would step down. And then they'd have another one come up, and, you know, obviously they would just, you know, oh, we have this plan, and our plan's going to be this, and our plan's going to be that. But we all know that, you know, what Move On said about Petraeus was the fact. I mean, that's what you knew what he was going to say. Why? Because he doesn't operate as a general, as generals should, in terms of what people think a general is. He's told what to do. He's told what to say, and that's what he says. That's what he does. I mean, that's why when they asked him a straightforward question, could he answer it? No.
Not exactly.
No, they asked him a question that it wasn't scripted, that he, you know, that for a response for him, which, you know, I don't know why they forgot to do that, but they did, and what happened? You know, he had nothing to say. Is the Iraq war going to make us any safer?
Haven't really thought about it.
Oh yeah, well, that's not. Oh, I think he said something along the lines of, "Oh, that's not what I'm thinking about. I'm just worried about the mission." Well, you know, now you're over here. You know, the drum beats for Iran are just getting louder and louder, aren't they? Just louder and louder. We just got to go into Iran because, you know. I don't know, but we just got.
I've
do
seen,
it because
honest to God, I can't help but believe what was was one of the English papers printed. Maybe it was the Guardian about how the rollout was starting after Labor Day. I can't open my email now without seeing some pitch for an email for a talk show host or a talk show host guest who wants to come on and explain why it's necessary to murder Iran.
Yeah, it's. And that is scary to me. That is really scary to me. I mean, I was in a lot of discussions this weekend on a lot of forums, and you know, people obviously, you know, I try to talk to liberals as much as I can, but I do enjoy engaging, you know, horns with the right wingers every now and then. But in terms of this, you know, question, I don't want to talk to them because they listen to what they say about Iraq. So
they're insane, Albert.
Yeah, they're mad. They're mad. They're
not angry mad. Crazy mad.
That's the funny thing. I mean, you know, I know it's cliche to talk about the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again. You know. And figuring out, you know, trying to put your finger in the key lock and figuring out why the door won't unlock. You know, that's the definition of insanity, I guess, you know, the popular definition of it. But that's kind of what we're doing in Iraq. You know, we're not doing anything new in Iraq. I mean, we know that what we're doing there. I mean, I think anybody who pays attention to the military should know that anything we're doing there isn't, you know.
Same stuff, massive, different day.
A redefinition of. You know, success in that country. We're not going to be able to win an insurgency like that. But you know, they
well,
think
look,
that
I mean, I got the email from our good friend Angie about Blackwater getting its license pulled and getting thrown out of Iraq.
Yeah, but
Now, what's that? What's that mean, Albert?
That means nothing.
No, it means something.
They don't have to have a license.
We don't need no stinking license.
They don't need a license. Exactly. They have a bigger armed force and air force and everything else like that than the Iraqi military does. I mean, and like I was kind of saying on the chat room, all they'll do is just merge with khaki. I mean, if it does get too hot for them, they'll just merge with khaki. You know how corporations operate. That's how they always operate. They get into some trouble, and then they'll just merge with another corporation that's like them. They'll pay a fine, and that's that. That's what they do. That's how they've always operated. So I don't see Blackwater, you know, they should have been in trouble years ago when they were making, you know, trophy videos, running around shooting, you know, innocent people for nothing. Yeah, I mean, but that's the whole thing. I mean, the Iraqi government doesn't even.
But Albert, consider a possibility here. Get your tinfoil hat out.
All right, it's on.
And get all paranoided up, and start thinking like a reptilian or a Republican. Okay.
Uh huh.
You throw out the Blackwater mercenaries. Now, those guys are actively engaged in protecting diplomats, protecting government, exalted 32nd degree noble Turks, you know, yeah. Bush administration, loyal Bushies. They protect sheiks and whatnots over there. They protect generals. You know, we've privatized the army to the point that our own soldiers don't protect our own generals anymore. You know, if I was a soldier, I'd feel pretty rotten about that. I mean, that's like you've been benched, you know, for
mm-hmm.
Okay, so so let's assume for a minute that the Iraqis succeed in getting rid of these thugs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does that mean for the American military, Albert? Somebody's got to fill that gap, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it does.
Guess we're going to... You know, I was planning... I told you the other night, I was planning on bringing 30,000 of our troops home by July 2008. But now, because Nuri al-Maliki has gotten his kafia in Awad, I can't do that. So we're going to have to keep those 30,000 there so that they can do the job that Blackwater was doing so well before.
Yep.
How crazy do you have to be able to envision that, huh?
No, not very at all. And that kind of...
Agnes had her finger on the hang-up button, Albert, and I was snapping my finger going, don't do that, don't do that. Please call back, Albert. Okay, Michelle... We're a little harried here, Michelle. Please forgive us.
Well, Albert could have called back.
He will.
I can hardly hear you guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you fine.
Okay. Well, hey, yeah, you started the hour on Greenspan, and then who was it that called in? I can't remember her name, talking about Move On.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have hit the gamut of things that have pissed me off this weekend, but I had to share my porch experience with all of you.
Okay.
I think I mentioned in the chat room last week, we offered our home and our front yard to our neighbor's kid because it was their mom's 65th birthday, and they couldn't afford a venue. So I've got a pretty big porch because I'm from the Midwest. I need a porch you all. And... anyway, so we're sitting up there with the son of our neighbor, and he and I, after a few drinks, and it's closing down time, about 11 o'clock at night, come to find out he works in a hospital, and he's an x-ray tech. I mean, he's like higher up in the technicians. He's been there a while. So he's all pissed off that the union has come in, the SEIU union has come in, forced themselves, told everyone they could get them better free health coverage and better wages. And he's going on about how he has dropped out of the union. They're terrible. They lied to them. And they're holding everything up just for a 2% raise. So I'm sitting here listening to him, and I'm like, well, but see, if you don't understand, when a union goes in and works with the corporation and sits down with the corporation, they can't give in. Otherwise, most of the time, if they give in to what the corporation sets as agreement, then you're not going to get anything. And then he complained about insurance, that they had a PPO, and then they got the union, and now they have a HMO. And I said, well, of course, because who can get the HMOs but unions? I mean, HMOs will sell to a union, where the PPOs, they're not going to give them any big deals. So, I mean, we've slaughtered so many unions, they have no power.
No, and well, just by way of example, you talk about, you know, if they give in to what the corporation says immediately, you know, they go nowhere. Look at the negotiations that are going on between the UAW and General Motors right now, okay?
Yeah.
With
the retirement?
Yeah.
Correct?
And it's one of those things that sort of makes my head spin, because GM has come to the UAW, and if you just hear it in a soundbite on the radio, it's like, well, that sounds like a great idea. And they've said, tell you what, UAW, you manage the pension. We'll contribute the money for the pension, you manage it. And it takes about 15 seconds worth of thinking, and you wait, and you get to the, oh, this is a screwing waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Because then, with the UAW managing the pension, they've got they have the fiduciary duty imposed upon them with regard to their membership, and yet they aren't directly in charge of making sure that the pension fund itself is solvent. They are dependent upon General Motors, and so when General Motors says, "Oh gosh, you know, we forgot to make the pension payment this month. Sorry." You know, what happens then?
Responsible.
UAW is responsible, but GM is the deadbeat.
Right. But, you know, that's a really good point to bring up. That'll keep my story a little bit shorter. So it's that.
Well, that wasn't the point.
Oh, that sounds good. Crap. Instead of truly understanding the dynamics of a negotiation, the responsibilities that go into pension funds, the responsibilities that go into health care, how do you acquisition health care or a group of people, you know. But I couldn't get a word in edgewise. And I think it was Lottie and I were chatting in the chat room about how you just kind of, you know, you have to give up. I mean, you really try. How this all started was, I mentioned to him and someone else about legislation in the state of California for single-payer health care, and had he seen anything of it? Do you know the first words that came out of these people's mouths was, I don't want universal health care. Look what it's doing. We know people coming in from Canada out here in Arizona that can't get a procedure. You know, if your child falls in Europe and has a concussion or has some type of head injury, you're not going to get a CAT scan. They're going to observe them. And I'm just like, I've got one question. Have you ever personally experienced Canadian or European health care? You know, it's like...
No. No, but yeah, I heard the whole horror story on Rush the other day.
You know, I was talking to Billie Jean over here on the phone, and then I was talking to Sarah down in Newport Beach, and she was telling me, you know, all these poor people, they want everything given to them, and they've given equal opportunity. You know, I mean,
yeah, Arizona, Michelle, Arizona. I just can't imagine that you walk into the hospital there and there's a bunch of guys with toques on their heads saying, "I came here for my heart surgery."
Hey.
Brought my own Molson.
Hey. I, you know, it's that simple-minded. I won't say it on the phone. I'll only chat or say it in the chat.
Simon Simple and Simon Pure. It's okay. I get it.
And I love these people. I really do. I love my neighbors. And I got to give a couple of them credit. You know, they were defending the, you know, people that are in lower income areas that can't afford the same kind of education. I mean, we went through the gamut. But it's this libertarian, you know, all these people want to rule us and, you know, you just have to take care of yourself, individualism. And like Lottie, I guess I got to quit caring or quit trying to have a discussion. I don't know how to handle it. Maybe I'm just too, you know, some people say, well, you care too much. You worry too much about what people think, and maybe so, you know. So I'm.
Oh, I got that. I got Michelle. I got that lecture from my doctor last week. He said, "You know, you've got way too much stress. What's your stress?" And then he goes, "Wait a minute, I know you. You're one of those liberals. You sit around you sit around stressing out about the Iraqis and the people in Darfur, don't you?" I said, "Well, Doc, I've been known to do that, but for the most part, I sit around worrying about the people in West Virginia, the people in West Virginia in my house."
Yeah.
And he goes, "Okay." But that, no, he went on, and this was a while back. He gave me this lecture about, you know, don't worry about what you can't change. It's the whole Irish blessing thing about and the wisdom to know the difference and all of that.
Yeah.
I'm not wound that way, Michelle. I mean, I do sit back and think about people because I can. I don't have a problem making, to some extent or another, a 3-year-old in Baghdad as real as in a 3-year-old I see in Beckley.
Right.
Because their chromosomal makeup is identical. The only difference is the way that the little gene pairs are arranged.
You know, exactly. I'm glad. See, that's why I love you guys. That's why I my heart is with the people in the chat room. Okay, so we're preaching to the choir, but at least we all know our own sickness and that we give a shit too much.
But the thing is, we're not just preaching to the choir. We're trying to strengthen the choir. We're inviting more people to the choir because this is the right way to be, Michelle.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I don't think we're so oblivious to the fact that, you know, there are situations that aren't simple to solve, and that we have to use diplomacy, and, you know, and sometimes we have to, you know, stand our ground. We're not like those. What was it? I hate to mention it. Mark Show. The guy said, "Cut and run." You know, kind of people that. You know, everybody,
one of these days I'm going to hear that just one time too many.
You're just going to...
My head's just going to
I let it go in the room, you know. It's like, gosh, cover your eyes. So, but, yeah, I mean, it truly is. Don't you see, like, Greenspan is realizing, I mean, he's old. Isn't he realizing?
Yeah, the flames are beginning to lick the soles of his feet.
Yeah. Oh, I've done some nasty stuff.
Yeah, this is the same reason that aging kings endowed cathedrals in the Middle Ages.
Yes.
Or basilicae or whatever. You know, and they paid for monks to pray for their souls from now on. I guess, you know, I mean, if the church held up their end of the bargain, I guess there's still people praying for the soul of very, you know, Pepin the Short or what the hell ever, because they realized they had done manifest evil. And it's one of my, this is not Wednesday, so we won't do this, but it's one of my gripes is this idea that you can get somebody to do third party work for you.
Yeah.
For the rotten, evil garbage that your own soul has done. It'd be a lot easier.
I like to think that they have to come back as cockroaches.
You know,
and chew on the poo-poo of others.
Yeah, or maybe carp.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
come back as a carp and just live on the at the bottom of the river.
And some liberal gets them on the line and just hacks the head off, you know? All right, babe. Well, you take care. Enjoy.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for the Jesus pencil toppers. Yeah, but all those tickled me to death.
Well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. We
forgot. You shared it with the kids, you know.
Oh, but we forgot the other really cool thing. It's not just everybody on the face of the planet, Michelle, who has a tin of Last Supper after dinner mints. And see, I want to keep the shrink wrap on them. I want to keep the shrink wrap on them, Michelle. You hear them rattling?
I've got those things from my friends, you know, like, what is it, the tin of get Bush out of your life, or the tin of the 911 bill. My friends have sent me. Yeah, nothing gets open. I just set it out in display.
It's perfect. I know, but I know how much. At some point in time, 1 o'clock in the morning, I got to taste one. You know,
no.
Agnes is trying to take them away from me, even as we speak.
Well, hey, I wanted to tell you real quick. Will you guys? Maybe ELO will post it in the chat room so I can write it down. The person that sent you the jewelry, I was sitting on the phone, and so I didn't get the
It's real easy. Liberaljewelry.com.
Liberal Jewelry. Okay.
And Jesse, Jesse-international.com. And I mean to tell you, this necklace is beautiful.
Hey, I support it, and mm-hmm. I'll have to check it out.
Well, I hope you will, because it's a way to be a proud liberal. I'm putting this buckle on my belt, and I'm going to march around with it on.
In Alabama?
You're darn right.
Oh my God, I've got cousins in Decatur. Oh, please be careful.
Well, see, I'm about 40. Where I'm going to be is about 40 miles west of Decatur.
Going by Decatur. You see my cousin Pam and Ricky.
Ricky? No. You do not have a cousin Ricky.
I do, and Pam and Michael. I got a cousin Michael, and, you know, he's just really special because he was the baby.
You've got the accent down, Michelle.
Hey, I'm from Missouri. Come on. I love you guys.
We love you too, dear. Have a wonderful evening. Bye.
Bye.
It's not every day you expect to hear an accent like that coming out of Arizona. Agnes says break, then we come back to the phones. Is that okay with you? I hope so. We're going to do that. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. And, there's more stuff to go into tonight, more to cuss and discuss. And I don't know, while I'm gone, I'll try to sneak in and maybe chime in and talk to Brother Bruce a little bit. Maybe if Agnes will let me. All right, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. This is The Horn.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Rick.
recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday on Foxed Up at 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll take a look at John Lennon's Thanksgiving 1974 onstage appearance with Elton John, marking the end of John's lost weekend.
That's when Yoko and I got back together the night I performed with Elton at Madison Square Garden.
Be there this Friday on Foxed Up at 10 a.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Whatever gets you through the night.
This is Bill Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Went to Disney World in Orlando 2 years ago. We didn't realize it, but I found out later they call it Gay Day. We saw several things that just were shocking. But the worst part of it was these people would kiss openly, you know, and embrace. But if we gave them a funny look, they would say rude things to us. Oh, yes, they were very hateful, very, you know, effeminate.
Church Lady Gone Wild. Meet Brother Russell this Wednesday on Strictly Confidential, 9 p.m. Eastern.
This day is mine. How do I look? How do I feel? How do I look? How do I feel? How do I feel? How do I look?
Seventeen minutes before the hour, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Monday night. You know that. Like you need some disc jockey to tell you. Next thing you know, we'll be doing the weather. Oh, God. We're going to go back to the phones. We are joined, as I promised you, by our good friend Bruce Birch, who is with us right now.
Yes, I am. And, Bob, by the way, the weather today is funny, and it's been... Oh, I'm sorry. I figured I'd throw that one in there since you mentioned something about the weather.
Well, you know, if we can't tell you what the weather is or what time it is, some of us are hard-pressed for something to talk about. Luckily, not me.
Really? I that's not me. I got all kinds of stuff to talk about.
Darn right.
As a matter of fact, Bob, apparently I've got 12 hours worth of stuff to talk about.
You better.
12 hours worth of stuff to talk. Now, have you told folks what's going on, Bob?
Oh, yeah, I have. And there is much excitement.
Is there really?
Yes.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I think it is a great honor and a huge compliment that you would ask me to step in and help you out with your show. And you know, I'm excited, man. I'm really looking forward to it. I think we're going to have a great time and getting some people on the air and talking about whatever they want to talk about. You know me, I'll go anywhere.
You know, well, you were one of the ones that helped to invent the idea of conversation radio. So, why shouldn't it be?
That's right.
And our pal, our co-broadcaster, our buddy, our mite, John Fox in the chat room just went, "It's Bruce."
I love John. Oh my gosh! You know, it's going to be great to have him. Now, you know, is John going to join me at all? Do you think?
I'm hoping he will. He said he may.
Right.
And I've also invited Dr. Bill to chime in if he feels so inclined.
That'll be like old times. Yeah, you remember that that time we did the broadcast there from the Democratic Party meeting in
Charleston.
There?
Charleston.
Was it? No, it was Raleigh County.
No, that was the that was the Business Expo.
Yeah, and Dr. Bill and I and you.
Mm-hmm.
And Wayne were there. That was great, man.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. That was May 2006.
Yeah.
And in fact, you bring that up. We also did a live broadcast of the Jefferson Jackson Day festivities about this time last year from Charleston, and it looks like we may very well be doing it again, Bruce.
Oh, wow. Great. I'll make the trip.
Okay.
I'll make the trip. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, my goodness. And so who's going to be headlining that event this year, do you know?
That would be William Jefferson Clinton.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna have to glad hand that one. I think.
I think so. I think so. We'll see. Let me know. I'll ask Wayne if we can round up a press credential for you.
Well, you know, we'll have to work on that. I do have a couple of things in the hopper. You know me. I like to look at the labor issues, and that's one of the things that I've been focusing on the last few days, is looking at some of the stuff that the AFL-CIO has been working on, and so we're going to do some talking about that tomorrow. And I do also think, you know, we're going to have to get into the political stuff because, you know, George Bush is a moron, and we need to expose his his stupidity. That word, yeah. Wait a minute, maybe I'm a moron too. I don't know. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, Bob. I hope that you are somewhere between 6 and 9 tomorrow that you can call in and into your own show and let us know how you're doing.
Tomorrow night might be a little dodgy, but Wednesday and Thursday are definite possibilities.
Great. Well, you absolutely do that. But I'll have some stuff up on my blog tomorrow morning about what's going to be on the show tomorrow night, and I'll try to keep folks posted.
Yeah, and of course, yeah, you've got your own blog space there at headonradionetwork.com.
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I put an announcement up there today that I'll be on the air tomorrow. So we'll see what happens, but I'm really looking forward to it, Bob, and I appreciate the opportunity, man. I think it's going to be great fun.
Well, I think it will, too. I'm really, really looking forward to getting you back on the air. I think you'll have a lot of fun, and I think folks will have fun with you. And I've already told folks, you know, not to sit back and be shy, ring them up, burn up the phone lines, because there's nothing more fun than when conversation radio gets really conversant.
That's right. And you know what? There's got to be some humor in the middle of it, because this isn't all drudgery. Then
there will be.
The country and draining the treasury and killing everybody else in the planet, but we got to find a joke somewhere.
Sure. And, you know, I was thinking of you just in the last couple of weeks when we had those two stories out of Asheville.
There's always the story out of Asheville, man. What is it with Asheville? Every 10 minutes, there's a story out of Asheville. Which was it? The gay preacher this time, or was it? What was it?
No. This was the guy who got rousted for holding a sign on the side of the road that said "Impeach Bush Cheney." And then a couple of weeks before that, there was a sheriff's deputy who knocked down a couple's house because they were flying the flag the wrong way, or knocked down their door, chased them through the house, tackled them. I mean, I don't know what's
that's patriotism run amok, isn't it?
Sure it is. Oh, hold on here. Wait a minute. Let's see what's going on here. Agnes is pressing another button. What's going on?
Hello.
Hey, Bruce.
Hello.
How are you, mate? Bruce?
John!
Hey!
John, how the hell are you, John?
Oh, awesome, man. And I am just so looking forward to you being on air. It's been like yonks, man. And
It's been an eon.
And I can't believe they're going to trust you and possibly you and I with the keys once again. I mean, we raised Havoc the last time.
Was that what it was, Havoc?
Oh,
yeah.
Well, it was fun.
We didn't wreck the car, although we did key it a couple times.
Oh, no. So,
toilet papered a couple of yards, yeah.
It's going to be good fun, man. It's going to be really, really good fun, and I reckon it's going to be kind of like a bit of an all-star cameo appearance kind of thing going on all week, if we're going to have Dr. Bill and possibly even, you know, if Peter rings up while you and I are on air. that'll just
oh,
be,
that'll be great.
We could do.
God only knows, we may hear from the decider.
Like ice capades.
Sorry, but I don't look
serious.
Tight.
I don't want the visual,
like
John.
Anyway. And my tiara. But,
all right, you two. I'm staying home.
Your show at this point.
No. I'm gonna go. I just wanted to say hi, Bruce, and I'll be dropping in on you at some point, probably tomorrow, and you know, we'll just have a ball.
Yeah, you two behave, okay? Don't make me pull this radio network over to the side of the road, okay?
You can pull it over, but what are you going to do when you do that, right? Hey, okay.
I love it. Cobwebs in the chat room just said, "Hey, Bob, it sounds like here's your hat. What's your hurry?"
All right.
Hey, Bob, here's an apple and a roadmap. See ya.
Watch out for those alligators down there, man. I hear they're fierce this time of year. Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, and watch out.
I do appreciate the opportunity, man. I'm gonna have to sign off now. Go to work. Getting some stuff together, but I'm looking forward to tomorrow, and I hope everyone tunes in. And we think we'll have a great time.
I think it's gonna be a blast. Hey, John, thanks for ringing up.
No worries. See you, Bruce.
And John, I'll see you tomorrow.
Absolutely, man. Take care.
All right.
Oh my! What am I going to do?
You gotta watch it anyway.
There went Bruce. It's nice when we don't have the dial tone, but you know. Yeah, I'm gonna dock your pay, Agnes. Oh, you should see. Here comes the Viking helmet and the braids.
I'm only the secretary, Bob, but I love you.
Mm-hmm. Love you too, sweetie. You ready? Yeah, let's go back to Albert. Albert, I'm so sorry that Agnes cut you off.
Well, I get my tinfoil hat on, all nice and snug, and next thing you know, we start talking about Iran and Iraq, and the phone goes dead. It took me a while to calm down. I had to breathe into a brown paper bag, and I think I'm under control now. So.
Yeah, you know what you needed? You know what you needed? You needed a couple of Last Supper after dinner mints.
You know, I think so. I really do. Don't you love the stuff they hawk? Oh, my God. You know, those Last Supper dinner mints, you know what they remind me of?
What?
Do you remember after the tsunami and the Christian, you know, everybody, the charity, they have to go over there and say, see, we did so much charity work, aren't we great? But they gave those malaria pills or something like that, but they had them specially printed. They had them specially pressed just for that group. And on it was a cross and Jesus saves. And they were giving it to all the Muslims. Remember that?
No.
That's what that reminds me.
I'm trying. No. You put it back in my brain. And I did all that hard work trying to kill that brain cell.
Sorry. No. We won't let that one die. That one's got to be remembered.
Oh, that reminds me. Coming up after the top of the hour, we're going to check in with the American Family Association, Albert.
Oh, exciting.
They're having, let me see, what are they calling it? They're having the GOP Values Voter Presidential Debate tonight.
Oh, goody. And, hey, now that John McCain's a Baptist.
I saw that, yeah. Point. He's a Baptopalian.
he's a vampire. Ugh.
He's an Episcopist.
Oh, and I'll be calling up, too. Don't worry, Bob. I'll try to keep them in line for you. I won't let them get too rowdy.
Oh, it's going to... I mean, the cat is away, and the mice are just going to rock.
So where were we?
Oh, God. I'm... you know,
Blackwater.
Blackwater,
and,
yes, we were.
And moving out of Iraq and getting them out of Iraq. And,
dear leader having to say, oh, I can't send the 30,000 home now. We need them to do the job now that Blackwater's been treated so unfairly by Nouri al-Maliki.
That's perfect. That's really good. Because you know he's going to say something along those lines. And how disingenuous is it to say, oh, see how great, how glorious I am that I'm sending them home anyway when, you know, they had to go home.
Well, if they really do send them home, it's a 30,000 man hole in so-called security in Iraq.
And there's, I think, I've heard that there are like 80 or there's quite a number of Blackwater operations out there. I think they are,
you know, everybody mentions them. There's not, you know, they're not the only one, but there are a bunch of them, but they are one of the bigger ones. So.
And remember, they also exist outside the law, Albert. It's not not like the UCMJ applies to them.
Oh no. They're mercenaries. I mean, they can do whatever they want. They can have prostitution rings and.
Which also means if the Iraqis catch any of them, they're fair game. Just like in Fallujah. You know, you want somebody the Geneva Conventions doesn't apply to? Blackwater. But guess what? I'm sure it will now.
My faith in the system's reborn, no doubt about it.
Condoleezza Rice spent the morning on the phone with Prime Minister Maliki today.
Well, what else needs to be said? She'll handle it. She's good. You can trust her.
Don't do that to me.
Oh, they are just ooh-goo-goo-goo-goo, aren't they? But, you know, I back to that tinfoil hat deal, because it's still in my head. We're sitting here looking at a Bush administration who can, at will, I mean, you know this, at will, he can declare martial law. I mean, and it doesn't have to be, you know, a terrorist attack or anything like that. It could be a financial crisis such as the housing market or the fact that now the dollar is only 3 cents, it's worth 3 cents more than the Canadian dollar, which I know you've never seen in your lifetime and I've never seen in my lifetime. It's always been almost 40 or 50 cents more. You know, it could be anything along those lines. It could be a massive protest. I mean, we're sitting here in a country that the majority of people, like, for example, where I live in Wisconsin, just got we were declared a federal disaster area because we got a bunch of rain. And FEMA is moaning and complaining that that Wisconsinites are not putting in a files, that the amount of files that we are, you know, submitting are very low, and we should be, you know, more of us should be, you know, asking for aid. But the thing is, Bob, I mean, and it was a bad storm, and some people really got messed up, and their lands got messed up, they lost some crops, and it was bad. But this article came out in my local paper, and I really try not to read the local stuff because the national stuff aggravates me enough, and I have enough gray hair. But They came out with this story saying that, you know, more of us in this area need to, you know, go to FEMA and ask for some help. And what do you suppose the comments were on this article? You think it was, Wisconsin, we pulled together, so on and so forth. Yeah, there was a bunch of those. But there was also a bunch of these. Oh, it's not like the people down in New Orleans who, you know, they need all this handouts, they need all this help, blah, 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 blah. See, and I'm just trying to say, that's the kind of country we live in, where, oh, we're better than them. And in
comments like that in a place like Wisconsin, that you can't help but read it with Albert without thinking, you know, there's a little bit of racism hiding here.
Oh, and that's the first. I wrote a comment, too, if you want to go look at it. It's the Vernon County Broadcaster. It's in that VernonCountyBroadcaster.com. You'll see my name's Albert, and I made a nice little comment to it because, you know, I can't let people sit there. I mean, I said, I mean, your callous comparison to, you know, to the people down in New Orleans, to compare to our little tiny storm, compared to that devastation, and then you try to say that, you know, like these people, I mean, their houses were underwater, thousands of houses were underwater. This was a city of 500,000 people, and now it's a city of 200,000 people. And that's not even just the one city. That's not an entire Gulf Coast, which was just annihilated. That, you know, obviously we know what Bush cared about. They cared about corporatizing that, and they put all those rights in. It was that whole what's his name, the guy that just died, the Mr. The Chicago boy in terms of the economics. Oh, come on.
Oh, Milton Friedman.
Milton Friedman, yeah, that was one of his last things that he wrote about, you know, that, oh, now that New Orleans is all devastated and if they had this big shock, we have to go in there and set up private schools and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and that's exactly what they did, and then he died, and he's going to go roast in the fires, but...
just like an oyster.
That's what we live in a country where it's like, I mean, we've talked about this in terms of the healthcare system, and we're looking at this in terms of even the military and in terms of the schools. We live in this,
the greed is good, like virus is just out of its out of control in this country. I mean, they're talking about like, oh, we're better than the New Orleans people because we're white and we didn't, you know, we helped each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, or they're sitting there saying, oh, we have to go in and privatize and do all this other junk. You know, I don't understand this, Bob. You know, we are in this country. Right, we, you, I, and everyone else in the chat room that listens, and we want to be seen for what we were raised to believe was good about this country.
Yeah.
And every time we do, we get slapped down by this foul reality of these people that just want, I don't know, what do they want, bragging rights? What do they want? They can sit here with their nonsense about, you know, you should hear what the Freepers are saying about Blackwater nonsense. Oh, you should just hear what they're saying. You wonder about how much stock do these people hold in these companies.
They're not interested in bragging rights, Albert. They're interested in ownership rights. George Bush wasn't kidding a couple of years ago when he was talking, I want to create a new ownership society in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had an ownership society before. We had a little dust-up in 1860 over it. But, you know, they're not kidding. You know, he wants people to think that that means stocks. Look, there's a story out of Alabama today, Tuscaloosa. You know, the place where George Wallace stood in the schoolhouse door and said, segregation yesterday, segregation today, and segregation forever. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tuscaloosa County.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've reapportioned their school district there because of school overcrowding and so forth. And guess what? Guess where all the black kids got sent? To all the crappy schools.
No, they don't do that.
Way. Dude.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they want an ownership society. They're not kidding. I used to, I mean, I'm talking about the 80s and the 70s, and I can even remember it going back into the late 60s when I started paying attention and stuff. I can remember my dad saying, listen, the Republicans want to create an America where there is no middle class.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's nothing but a whole lot of poor and a very few rich. You know, these...
Oh, they,
I loathe these dumb bastards, Albert, because, you know, they like to say things like, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. did these dumbasses ever realize that the rising tide comes from the bottom up? Because if the rising tide comes from the top down, everybody drowns.
Yeah, indeed. Amen, Bob.
Sorry.
No, it's... No, you're, you know, these guys that sit here and they talk about this nonsense, and this is what it's going to take. I mean, it's going to take. We've been talking about this financial collapse of the dollar. You got the housing market. I mean, even Greenspan is starting to come out. I don't know. Guilty consciousness is Roy or his Atwater moment, I guess. You know, because he is about to go. And you know, you're sitting here looking at a guy who, you know, he can come out now and say, you know, how bad the Bush administration is, and you know, he can come out now and say, you know, how the housing market is, you know, going to send this country into, you know, a recession. And that's they always say recession; they never say depression, because you know, that would just make it happen that much faster. But you know, we sit here and you're looking at, I mean, gold is $717 an ounce. You're looking at...
There's never been a better time to buy gold. Buy gold now. Call 1-800-BUY-GOLD. Sorry.
Well, you should have listened to them. No, that's perfectly right, because they, in a sad sense, they're kind of right. And, it just makes me kind of just...
No, because you're going to lose your ass when you buy gold, because gold will go back down. You know, probably.
I wish I would have bought. I wish I would have listened to them when it was 240 an ounce, because that would be...
Well, I was listening. I just didn't have the 240.
That's where I was. So, yeah.
You know, it's not the failure to listen. It's the failure to have a printing press in the basement, Albert.
Yeah, well, you should be a Republican. No. I actually had a guy tell me, he's a young kid, and, you know, in my group of friends, we're pretty accepting of people because we're mostly liberal. And you know, we do have the Republican every now and then that hangs out with us. And they say, oh, he's a Republican. And I remember, and I'll never ever forget this, because I had the answer that he was, that up to the question, you know, I did the whole lawyer thing. You know, I knew what he was going to say, and then he said it. I said, why are you a Republican? He said, because I want to be rich. That's exactly why I think anybody who is in our economic bracket
or even a little higher, a little luckier in the, you know, in that whole scheme. You know, anybody who says that and they want to be Republican, that's why they want to be rich. And, you know, they can be rich with the debt that they have, and they can, you know, because that's what we're turning into. We're turning into this, you know, where debt equates wealth in this country. You know, these people, they get in these houses. I got a friend, a young friend, right now, he's on his, they keep moving around, and I just go, how do you keep moving around? Where do you get this money from? And I think he's got a $115,000 house, and I'm just like, you know, the market is, you know, where it's at, and I'm like, well, how are you going to, you know, he's like, well, I want to get out of this and get out of that and do this and do all these other things. I'm like, well, how are you going to do this when you can't sell your house? Well, I never thought of that. Because, and I think that is also another primary. That's a primary reason we're in Iraq. That's a primary reason because people don't really think about, you know, the consequences to this action. They don't think about the consequence. Oh, it's an adjustable rate interest mortgage. You know, I'll pay it in 2 years. 2 years is way too long of a memory, you know, hole for this country. Well, we don't even remember 6 weeks ago. I mean, I don't even think they're talking about Britney Spears anymore, and that was only a couple weeks ago. I mean, I can't believe, you know, the attention span of this country. So, and it makes me afraid. What makes me afraid, and this is back with the tinfoil hat still on, what makes me afraid is, you know, you know that they want to go into Iran, but I got to say it again. What is going to allow, what is going to change the mood, or what is going to change the perception of the people in this country that, you know, we're overwhelmingly against the Iraq war? What's going to change us to send boys and girls and missiles and bombs into Iran? What is it going to be that's going to sit there and enable these, you know, crisis management, you know, capitalist, you know, cannibals to have their wet dream fantasy of us owning what's under the Iranian soil? What is it going to be?
Careful how you throw around that us and the Iranian soil, okay, because you're not going to have an interest in it. This ain't Catch-22. It ain't Milo Minderbinder, and everybody does not have a share, okay, Albert? I mean, really, I'm not jumping you or anything.
No. The only share I'm talking about is the share for you and I to be able to afford gas to go to work.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I'm
getting ready to split for Alabama again, and $3 a gallon.
Yeah.
Labor Day's over. Change. It's supposed to be going down.
That is one of those deals, and I don't understand what it is going to be, and that's what kind of keeps me up at night, is what is it going to take for the people that are against the Iraq war to have their, I mean, because we're 68%, you know, against, and granted, not everybody is a raving, you know, lunatic, moonbat liberal like you and I, but what is it going to take to knock those people right back off down into the charts and to say, you know, stupid things like, well, Iran was behind 9/11. And I'm sure you heard the news where they were talking about how the U.S. military base in Iraq was attacked by a missile.
Oh, yeah. And the guy holds up a chunk of twisted metal and says, you know, we can tell by the paint. Only Iran paints their missiles this way. Well, if you know that only Iran paints their missiles this way, General, what's to stop you from having one of your guys paint them we'd never do that. No.
Oh, no. They never. No. Lie or exaggerate. Mm-mm. I think, what was that? It was a cartoon, a political cartoon I just read, and it talked about how our generals are like Vulcans. They never lie or exaggerate. You know, they'd never do anything like that. And that's, you know, and that's that the tinfoil hat's still on. You know, I remember the things that we do that, you know, we talk about arming both sides of a conflict. The Iran-Contra affair, hello. I mean, we talk about, you know, look at what we're doing. What are we arming, the Shiite militias or the Sunni militias? Now we're arming them. And, you know, that was the big talk. That was the big, big talk up until this sheik who said he controls the Iraqi people. If you actually, in the top of the Radisson Hotel, if you actually heard his interview, he was, he was so full of himself. Bring you terrorists on. He gave one of those Bush moments. And then he goes back into the province that is 100% safe and dies.
Yeah, gets all dead.
Now, where does that leave us? You know, I mean, I know, everybody who listens to the horn knows that isn't a right-wing shill. We all know that this whole thing about, you know, the local militias going after Al Qaeda was just a bunch of nonsense. It was all, yeah, they'll go and they'll kill the five guys that are part of the Iraqi Al Qaeda, and then they'll go and now they're all armed. And what are you going to do? Are you going to take their arms away? Are you going to sit here and try to do that?
You know that. You know they're not going to do that. They got generals and colonels and majors running around with big bags of money on the front of their chest, handing out stacks. Boom, 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 boom. We're sitting here arming these guys. What is going to happen when this stuff goes down? We're arming these guys, and what is it? 60% of Iraq is the Shiite, or the same as the Iranian Muslim. I always
Shia.
Get those two mixed up.
No,
the
Shia.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the minority are the Sunnis, and then you got the Kurds in the north.
So, yeah, but and you know as well as I do, they could say, oh, America number one, oh, Iraq is free, blah, 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 like they did back in 2003, and we see where we're on today. What's going to happen when that stuff in Iran, what happens if we do happen to attack Iran? What's going to happen to that? You don't think that those guys are going to side with the Iranians? That's kind of common sense to me. I don't think you'd go into, you know.
You, me, and four other people with a risk board and a case of beer. You know, I mean, yeah, it is obvious.
It is obvious. It's scary, though. And it is, and that's what the horn has to be able to do is, you know, cry out the klaxon call that, you know, not allow. You know, we can't just also call into the horn. We got to call into these, you know, these media middle of the line, you know, talk show hosts, even on Air America, that can be swayed. I think those are the types of people that will be swayed to say, oh, well, America's in danger, and you know how politically correct it is to say America's in danger. We have to reinstitute freedom fries and freedom toast. So now we back, you know, now we back us going into Iran. That is just something that, and I know I'm sounding like a broken record, and it just can't be helped because I am terrified of that. I got little kids, you have kids, little kids too. I mean, and anybody who does have a child is sitting here looking at the world, and we always look and we project in terms of where are we going in this world? Why are we sitting here in the position that we're in? And it's because, you know, granted, for better or worse, you know, during the Reagan years, which was such economic, you know, in terms of my bomb, you know, she didn't really pay attention much, and she didn't really participate very much. And now I think it's in terms of our duty that, you know, we really have to talk to our friends and our neighbors, the people that, you know, I have plenty of friends that don't vote. They absolutely just don't. It amazes me that they sit there and they don't vote, they don't believe in the system at all, and in their own way, they're actually helping the system to propagate what the system wants to do, which is, granted, exactly right. They want to have an ownership society. They want to be the ones with the money. They want to be the ones that have us as the serfs, that we're going to have to sit here. And, you know, if the housing market collapses, Bob, you think they're just going to write off all that debt? You think they're just going to say that? No, Bob Kincaid. You will be working your debt off. And you will just, it'll be just like, the nation will be like one big company store coal mine. It'll be just like that, where everybody's going to have to work and work and work, and you're not going to have any political say because you're in debtor's prison.
Certainly would be more convenient for the folks in Washington, wouldn't it?
Oh, certainly would. I mean, you know, now they're talking about because that's the whole thing. We talked about, you know, them revoking the Blackwater license, but they can't do anything. They don't have any power in that respect. They can't say anything, and it's going to take our congressional leaders. We want to get Blackwater out of Iraq. It's going to be us to contact our political representatives and tell them to hold a trial on these people, to sit here and get this corporation and hold them accountable. I mean, that's one thing that makes me nauseous to there's no end. It's like Epicaxia IV. It's just amazing that the corporations in this country are never, ever held accountable. And if they are, in a respect that is, you know, like Enron, it's just mouth talk. It's mouth talk. That guy that's been sitting in jail, they got him a 20-year sentence. He's going right back up for an appeal. You think he's going to get out?
The odds should be against him, but not in this case.
No. And then you got that. Now, this is another story that just kind of broke. Did you hear about that federal prosecutor?
Yeah, in fact, I was going to go to that here in a couple of minutes.
I didn't even want to say it.
Because I'm going to start screaming if you do, because I've sort of positioned that thing where I'm going to have a blue... because everybody's not in the chat room, and they haven't seen it. And the fact of the matter is, a Republican federal prosecutor from Florida, 53 years old, just got busted in Detroit. Agnes, just kind of sit tight for this one because you'll be yelling. Just got busted in Detroit after getting set up in a sting whereby he flew to Detroit to have sex with a 5-year-old little girl. Now, I'm sure there's a Larry Craig defense in here somewhere, like, you know, this was a sting of my own. I was going to go down and bust the 5-year-old prostitution ring.
That's what they said on the Free Republic about it. Oh, my God.
See what it does when you wander around in that cesspool? You learn to think like them. Now, here's the best part. President of the Gulf Breeze, Florida Sports Association, a youth athletics organization. His wife is a science teacher at Gulf Breeze High School. He describes himself online as a family man. And what, you know, I mean, I guess it would just be theater if I started screaming now, wouldn't it, Albert?
Well, I almost started crying, but...
Yeah, I mean, after Larry Craig, and then there's Bob Allen in Florida, and there's the transvestite Baptist minister exposing himself drunk on, you know, cheap vodka and oxycodone, yada, yada, yada. This, you know, every time we think we've gotten to the bottom of the sewer, Albert, we find out there's more sewer. And they are always, 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 without fail, no questions asked, no doubt about it, good, righteous, God-fearing, upstanding Republicans.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, but wait, you know, the undercover detective expressed concern about physical injury to the 5-year-old girl as a result of the sexual activity. Detective said Atchison responded, and I quote, "I am always gentle and loving, not to worry. No damage ever, no rough stuff ever. I only like it soft and nice." Wait a minute. I am always. Let's have a grammar moment, Albert. I am always gentle and loving. That means there are other five-year-old little girls somewhere in America that have been done by U.S. Attorney John David R. Atchison of the Northern District of Florida.
You know.
And see, he walks around in the hallways, and people defer to him because he's an assistant U.S. attorney.
He's a pillar of the community.
He goes into courtrooms, Albert, and he stands in front of a federal judge, probably appointed by George W. Bush, and he talks about what a blight some young black man is on the community because he got caught with a rock in his pocket. Meanwhile, he's sitting at his computer trolling for 5-year-olds. 5-year-olds.
You even had the guy that was the head of the Department of Homeland Security Child Pornography Division.
Busted.
Yeah, and this is the thing. I mean, hello, everybody. This is our leaders. These are our political leaders. These are our community leaders that are doing... I'm on the radio. I'm going to watch my mouth.
He goes home. The wife kisses him and says, "How was your day, honey?" "Oh, we had a very big day. We put a lot of dangerous criminal black men away today. We had a young black man who had sex with a 15-year-old girl. He'll be gone to prison. He'll never do that again. He won't be a menace to society." "Well, I got my suit off. I got my warm-up clothes on. Got to head off to the Gulf Breeze Athletic Association. Those young men need a father figure down there. I'm going to go to baseball practice. I'm going to go to football practice. I'm going to watch the little boys, and I love the little cheerleaders."
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
And you know, come election time, I'm sure he can be seen and heard talking in the hallways or on the sidewalk or maybe going to lunch with one of his buddies. "I don't understand these Democrats. They hate America. They have no family values." Because you see, if somebody would actually do the journalism, Albert, we could find out all this stuff, and I guarantee you'd find an example of every last bit of it about this creepy bastard.
Well, I did a little digging myself, and I couldn't actually find him donating any money to anybody politically. But
that doesn't mean, you know, just because he doesn't give money doesn't mean that he doesn't, you know, support this or that. But he...
There's been a purge in the U.S. attorney's offices. You are not a Democrat and working in a U.S. attorney's office in America right now.
Well, yeah.
I guarantee you this guy is who he is.
Oh, no, I think that goes without question. It's, you know, there's a whole astrology, blah, 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 talking about all this stuff that's going to be coming out because of Pluto coming into Galactic Center and all this other stuff.
In the deposition, Acheson suggested, the mother, of course, was the cop who was posing as the pimp for the five-year-old. In the deposition, the detective said Acheson suggested that the mother tell her daughter, "You found her a sweet boyfriend who will bring her presents." And of course,
I don't understand it.
Down in Gulf Breeze, they are shocked. Shocked, I tell you. Shocked.
Yeah.
Hey, Albert, I got to roll on. We got a bunch of calls stacked up here. Thanks for calling back, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me back. You have a great, safe trip, all right?
Thanks, Albert. Take care.
We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye now. And let's go to Kevin, calling from D.C. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Remember a couple weeks ago when I told you about, what's his name, from Idaho?
Yeah, Larry Craig.
Yeah, it's dead in the water now, trust me. He got away with it. The media, what was the last thing you ever heard about him?
I know. Well, I mean, you know, he resigned and that was enough, but, you know, he's decided to challenge, he is challenging the guilty plea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much, once, you know, the media has OJ now, so.
Yeah,
that's been the hot item. OJ and the Emmys and what they're wearing.
Well, to be fair, they did censor Sally Field too, and that was pretty sleazy.
Oh, okay. But what I wanted to, you know, the gentleman that was on before had his head on about Wisconsin, and Joe and I were talking about it earlier. You know, how they're so, you know, like, the issue with Wisconsin receiving aid from the Department of Homeland Security and stuff. He pretty much had it head on. And whatever it comes towards, you know, help or a government that helps the people, pretty much a lot of, unfortunately, mid-America feels only whites are entitled to it. You know?
Yeah, sure. And, well, not really only whites and corporations and defense contractors, you know, there's your welfare state.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Coal producers. Sure.
Oh, yeah. But also, I wanted to get on, most importantly, is this war. You know, and it leads from, like, the welfare that the defense contractors are getting. You know, anybody will tell you, and this has been pretty much the rules of war since the end of World War II, it's not about the big armies anymore. It's about who's willing to accept the most losses.
Well, yeah, what's the German word? Schrecklichkeit, the imposition of horror, who can out-horrify the other side?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not Napoleonic anymore, and to a certain extent we're still operating by virtue of Napoleonic tactics, because we still think in terms, and I guess it's the only way a military man can think, we still think in terms of armies lining up in the field and shooting at each other. It doesn't work that way anymore.
And it hasn't for nearly 200 years, because Napoleon got his behind whooped in Russia. Guerrilla warfare.
You know, in the Civil War, they had these nifty new rifled muskets. And they lined up at Napoleonic ranges and cut each other to pieces, whether it was the Hornet's Nest at Shiloh or the Peach Field or the Peach Orchard or something at Gettysburg or Antietam. And they just cut each other to ribbons.
Oh, yeah.
And then the same thing happened in the First World War, and then it got a little bit more in... But it doesn't... you know, whether it was island hopping in the Pacific, that wasn't, you know, that wasn't the inexorable move of massed armies. It was a whole different way of thinking. But suddenly, Kevin, it seems like our military people don't have a way of thinking about the Vietnams and the Iraqs of this world.
Well, you see, the thing is, they're paid very good money not to think that way, because the reality is, a lot of these generals are depending on jobs and stock options in the various defense contracting companies after their military career is over. Our army, for all intents and purposes, is owned by defense contractors.
Sure it is.
You know.
There's your ownership society again, Kevin.
Yeah, and, you know, Blackwater is just the tip of the iceberg, you know, and it's become more blatant with Blackwater, but I dare any general to come out and say, look, you know, having a bunch of soldiers in Iraq, you know, is not working. You know, we need to pull out because colonial wars don't work. You know, the French learned the hard way in Algeria, and, you know, it's not going to work. And eventually, sooner or later, we will pull out, just like we did in Vietnam. But it's going to cost how many billions of dollars in lives before we do. And that's what they're counting on.
And, you know, the other side of this, Kevin, may be that there is a postulate or a corollary or a law of war, perhaps, that if you start it, you lose eventually, one way or another.
Oh, yeah.
Rome allowed Caesar, and there was a great deal of dissent over this. They allowed him to gin up a threat from the Gauls and let him go off to Gaul and make his fortune, and he came back, became, you know, the divine Caesar, and the next thing you know, they lost the Republic. So they lost.
Oh, yeah.
Alexander took off out of Macedon, conquered the known world, so to speak, and that all fell apart the minute he died. Greece lost. If you start a war, you know, the South fired on Fort Sumter. They lost. The Germans attacked the Poland. They lost. The Japanese attacked us at Pearl Harbor. They lost. If you start a war, generally speaking, you lose it.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we're going to... And, you know, forgive me for sounding defeatist, but I'm a realist. You know, we're going to lose in Iraq.
Well, that's not defeatism, Kevin. That is what you just called it. That's realism.
Yeah.
You...
We're going...
And I used to take so much grief from right-wingers over when I'd say, listen, let me explain to you something. We lost the war in Iraq the day that the first bomb fell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because that changed the hearts and minds of the Iraqis. No, they did not like Saddam Hussein, but come on, look at what the mess we have now. It's like, you know, in years to come, so we're going to wish for the days that Saddam Hussein was there.
Well, the Iranians aren't, by and large, crazy about their theocratic weirdo government. But you know what? Most of them are under 30 years old, and they're willing to wait out the guys who are over 70.
Oh, yeah.
Because the under 30 years old...
They want to westernize so badly, it's not funny.
Yeah.
It's like, you ever seen some of these Iranian women dress underneath those veils? You would think they're Paris Hilton.
That's a little bit rude to the Iranian women, but
I know, but... you know, no insult to beautiful Iranian women, but I'm just saying the clothes.
Sure.
Come on.
Sure,
They want to remove the burkas and wear their big Jackie O sunglasses and miniskirts.
Yeah. I mean, the Today Show piece that ran a few days ago was short and didn't have nearly the depth that you would like to see. But the fact of the matter is, it did point out that, I mean, there was this resort area that I guess you have to take like a chairlift, like for a ski resort to get to. And guys go up there, and you know what they do when they get up there? They're not, I mean, we're talking about straight guys. They put gel in their hair, and they spike their hair, Kevin. And they walk around freely with spiked hair, because back home in Tehran, that's illegal. It's an offense unto the nostrils of Allah.
Yeah, so, you know, they want to. It's like, you go to the Iranian community in Los Angeles, because that's where they're big, and they are so westernized and affluent, it's not funny. you know, it really is. Or here in D.C., you know, very westernized. And, you know, a lot of that influences the cousins back home.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's like, but I don't know. To me, our military is stupid because they're brainwashed into voting Republican, and it's like, you know, they want their corporate welfare. The defense contractors want their corporate welfare, you know.
And remember what I started out part of the program with, Kevin, that quote from Henry Kissinger. You know, it's not me making this up. Kissinger says to Al Haig that the military are dumb, stupid animals to be used.
Oh, yeah.
That's not, you know, that's not America-hating liberal Bob. That's Henry Kissinger.
Kissinger. But, you know,
war criminal.
He is right, because, you know what? Only a dumb, stupid whatever is going to allow themselves to be used repeatedly, knowing that they're being used. You know?
Yeah.
You only feel sorry for the battered woman for so long who defends her husband after he done whips her.
But then again, if you go over and you read the letters section of Stars and Stripes, you see a side of the American military that we're not allowed to see generally because we don't go and look. It's deliberate ignorance on our part. God knows CBS, NBC, ABC, that crowd, they never go there and look. But these are, you know, these are our lifers and sergeants and, you know, Spec 4, Spec 5, Spec 6 writing in and saying, you know, our brass is crazy.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, they're in trouble if they're going to say that, because really you got to play the political game in the military now. You know, it's like they just threw their career away.
It could be, but, you know, you're getting to that point where people have to speak out, and you're going to find the leadership not, you know, the leadership's not going to come from aspiring generals who have licked boots all of their... No, it's going to come from the non-coms.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll come from the guys who clean rifles and go on patrols.
Well, you know, what I'm really hoping for is that our military wise up and have a mass mutiny like France did in World War One.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I
really hope for that.
The problem is they're so far away, they know what it takes to get home.
Yeah.
And sadly, the only way you come home on 2 feet is by doing what the hell you're told.
Yeah.
And trying to do it as well as humanly possible.
All right, Bob. You know, I don't want to take up too much of your time.
That's okay, Kevin. Not to worry. I tell you, I always enjoy our conversations, my friend.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Bye now.
Okay. Bye.
Later. And David, calling from Maine. Hey, David.
Well, I have a story you haven't talked about.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Did you see this Ameritrade thing?
No, I didn't.
I love what the spokesperson said. This is from September 14th. Omaha, Nebraska. Ameritrade said Friday one of its databases was hacked and contact information for its more than 6.3 million customers was stolen. A spokeswoman for the Omaha-based brokerage said more sensitive information in the same database, including Social Security numbers and account numbers, does not appear to have been taken. See, that to me... And it goes on to say, the company would not share many details of its investigation, including when the hack took place, because it is still looking into the theft and is cooperating with investigators from the FBI. This is so rotten in Denmark, it's not funny. First of all, for those people who don't know how accounting theft works on how it works, they don't steal all of your information. This is what they do. They do a partial hack. Then they sell it to the Russians. They sell it to different branches of European rings, crime rings or whatever. And then they find out your information through doing background checks, because there are no laws of doing background checks in Europe. They can pretty much check your DNA and everything. So all of the
so they don't need your social security number.
That's right, they don't. And that's a misconception. They say, they didn't take more sensitive information, so relax. Yes, they did. They took your name and your address, you dumbasses. And your email, even if you have your name and address. And they say, well, Well, what's the significance of that? Well, the significance of that is they know that you have enough money to have an Ameritrade account. Oh.
I know.
Oh, there's nothing to say to that except they didn't take the sensitive. Yes, they took the sensitive information. They took your name and number. That's sensitive information.
That's about the most sensitive information there is.
I know, and people say, well, how much could that be worth? It's worth a lot on the market. Just giving that name and email is worth a lot. People will pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for probably a 6 million list, because, like I said, they can do a background check. Just do a search in Google and see how many background check sites you come up with. You think all of these are on the up and up? I mean, come on. This is how identity theft starts is going to kick off in the 21st century. They say only about 10% from online, but I think that's BS. But whatever. But
all these Ameritrade customers are now going to start getting emails saying, "My name is Mrs. and my husband recently died, and we need your help in securing funds that are trapped in a night we are trying to get out of Nigeria because blah blah blah." You know, the Nigerian oil letter.
But you know, Bob, this points to something bigger that nobody really hits on. It's like, why do they have so many crime rings in Russia? Well, could it be because there's a near poverty level going for most of the people?
Well, that, and it's also and it's
annihilation of poverty.
And it's also an example of a society going from one extreme to the other. With the fall of communism, people were in Russia were told that the answer, the salvation, was capitalism. Capitalism run amok.
And also, it's the cultural feedback. They see the theft that's going on here, and they say, you know what? Everyone's thefting, so why not? They're not gonna. I'm not gonna take that much from them, and even if I do, they're stupid Americans.
I know.
Again, right there, the fact that nobody even brought up the question about, like, what do you mean more sensitive information? That is such bad reporting.
Well, whether it's social security numbers or more sensitive information might be the Ameritrade account number or the trades recently made or who owns what. You know, because remember, this is Ameritrade came to prominence trying to get American, you know, middle class people who had no business in the market to get in and start play, you know, come on, hey, look, the roulette wheel's fun. See how it goes around? Isn't it pretty? You know, put all your money on black. No, red.
You really can't say anything. This is like one of those stories. This is how the feeling I got when I saw the story about OJ on CNN and the memorabilia. I was like, I knew they were going to get that bastard one day, but I didn't think it would be something so.
Well, I don't know that they got him so much as, you know.
Well, you know the charge. How many years he's facing now, right? He's ruined basically any credibility.
Yeah, and Johnny Cochran's dead, man.
I know that there's nobody that's going to take him on. I mean, it's the stupidest thing. Do you know there's an audio tape? There's an audio tape of him calling this guy up and saying, "I want my memorabilia. Give it to me," threatening him on the phone. I mean, come on.
Oh, let's see. I'm working for all I'm worth here, David. I'm working hard. Let's see. If it ain't him on the tape, he's got to escape. How's that?
Yeah, that's a good one. I wonder if Barry Sheck is going to come out of hiding.
Where's the tape, Mr. Fung? Where is the tape?
Yeah.
Oh, why is that stuff still in my brain, David?
But before I start on the other thing that I called about, because I called about two things, I know, it's amazing. But the other thing I called about was the fact that when I was listening to it in your phone in the background, it sounded like there was an offbeat drum machine going. I thought someone's practicing.
I don't know what's going on there.
There it goes again.
I don't know.
Maybe it's just a background noise. I'm hearing it's playing tricks on me.
It may be happening in Maine, David. Because I promise you, there's no drum machine here.
Agent Fred is starting up.
Yeah, Agent Fred's gone hip-hop on us, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, The crunk music market, it's a big market. And Kanye West and 50 Cent, which, by the way, people, if you really think that the big story of the week was Iran or 9/11, no. The big story of the week was I'm telling you, people think I'm joking. I'm serious. The big story of the week for kids was who sold more, Kanye or 50 Cent? Like,
no, no, no. You're saying it wrong. You're saying it wrong. It's not. It's not 50 Cent.
Fitty.
For once, yeah. For once, I'm ahead of you on the pop culture.
I'm
it's 50 Cent
because he wants to. You know why he called it, you know why he called his album Curtis? But by the way, I think 50 Cent is a marketing genius. The reason why he called his album Curtis is because one of these guys came out, one of these rappers came out on the radio and started screaming his first name, Curtis. So he capitalized on it, decided to call his album Curtis. It's kind of a diss to Cameron. So
what would we do? What would, David, what would we do without you?
Cameron is probably one of the craziest rappers. He was on 60 Minutes, and he actually said this, Bob. He goes, you know, if there was a serial killer next door and he was killing my neighbors, I wouldn't snitch on him. Yeah, I mean...
Can't pay to have that stuff written.
I know, that's rapper goals for you. But the other thing I called about, besides that
whatever happened to Ice-T? Where's LL Cool J? I mean...
LL Cool, you know, the surprising thing about LL Cool J is he still has longevity in his sales, and people can say what they want about him. I mean, any rappers or any of the critics or anything, but if you look at his numbers, he's on his 10th album. He was one of the smartest rappers there, still. And I mean, look at the acting roles he gets, and again, he knows what he's doing. The same thing with Ice-T. Ice-T went from Cop Killer to playing a cop on NBC, you know?
Yeah.
Those guys are smart.
Well, and there was so much content there too. I mean, I draw a big distinction between. Well, no, I've got no business in the whole genre because I don't understand it well enough. But there's good and there's bad, and I know that.
Well, the way I look at it is, I know that people don't understand this and they don't understand about bad music. But to me, this is how I explain the yin and yang of good and horrible music. Horrible music inspires people to be better. It really does. And I know people think that's crazy, but think about it for a second. If you had
horrible music inspires me to sit in silence, David. What are you talking about?
What?
Horrible music inspires me to sit in silence.
No, for musicians and artists. I've heard it, Bob. I've been on that end where they're like, I was getting so tired of that song, and I just wanted to prove to somebody that I could be better than that.
A little bit of Monica in my... Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean... I guess I'll end with this, because I was going to mention another story, but this one's a little bit longer, and I'm sure you have another caller.
Yeah, I've got a couple I got to get to.
Oh, okay. Well, I am going to say this. The Hunting Party is a good movie, and I recommend it.
Okay.
Which is about the Serbian war crimes. And trying to...
You've never turned me on to a bad one yet. You're just about batting 1,000.
Well, I'll say this. You know, the way they set the movie up, I'll put it to you this way. I like this Richard Gere movie more than I like the Mothman Prophecies. But that's not really...
Jesus, how do you compare the two?
I know. But
Don't tell me.
No, I just did that because I wanted to mention the Mothman Prophecies because I thought that was the biggest... I mean, whoever greenlighted that movie and whoever invested into that is the biggest sucker. Because
dude,
I could have told you from
you're,
a mile
you're call,
away
you're
that
calling,
was going to get no traction whatsoever.
You're calling West Virginia, don't be dissing the Mothman, okay?
Oh, that's right.
Or the Braxton County Beast. Or, that no, you've got to be careful, okay? I mean, he gets around.
You know when this is true, though. You know when the bridge fell, they actually brought the Mothman back out on those conspiracy sites, and they said... Remember in the...
Oh, no, in Minneapolis?
Yeah. He said, remember in the end of the movie, The Mothman Prophecies? It did not happen in where so-and-so, where the place they said it did, but it did happen in Minneapolis. Could this be... He just started going
on. Oh, Jesus.
I mean, but I understand why they do that.
We go now to our correspondent, Robin the Bat Boy.
Yeah, Robin the Bat Boy. You know, that whole... To me, there is... What can I say? I mean, the people who put the investment, wow, some of the biggest suckers in the world. I mean, you say, wait a minute, I got an idea. Let's get Richard Gere. The movie is really has no proof. You don't really find out about anything. It's blurry, and it's a lot of incoherent ramblings. and Richard Gere. And did I mention we have Richard Gere?
Stop it. All right. David, take care.
All right, but before I do, The Hunting Party, I recommend it to people. Terrence Howard and Richard Gere, they work good together.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Later.
Bye now.
Bye.
The Hunting Party. Okay, now, one thing, our good friend Cindy in Washington State just brought something up, and I can't let this go because I heard it on the top of the hour news from QNN. I meant to make some mention of it. And I think it's symptomatic of our culture. A culture in which the government can listen in on your phone call when you're calling Granny to get the fudge recipe. A culture that allows the government to surveil those first few typed words from a first grader learning to keyboard a little bit and sending an email to daddy while he's on the road for business. All the precious little holinesses that are the American family. A government that can spy on that somewhere along the way will eventually greenlight a study that allows psychologists to spy on us in public restrooms. And it was just more—it was more or less of a kicker. It was a throwaway story on the QNN News that, what, 30% of men and women don't wash their hands after using the bathroom? But that's not the story. The story is that these psychologists were allowed to spy on Americans. And, of course, if you're going to get a statistically relevant sample, you can't just spy on one restroom in one section of the country. You know, you got to get this thing all chi-squared up or whatever the statistical model is. And that means you've got to have more than one restroom, more than one region. You got to have both genders. And my ick factor just went through the roof. I mean, I'm not talking, you know, I don't think most people think of, but we don't want to be watched. Do we? It's just disturbing. It's another nail in the coffin of our freedoms, frankly. Do the people who were surveilled know that they were surveilled? Hell no, because if they were, they would sue. And then the Supreme Court would end up saying that you have no reasonable right to privacy in a public restroom. Which I guess means that all the stall doors just have to come off. And people can stand there and watch. I don't guess there's, short of birth and death, you know, the Mac McAnally song where he writes, I was taught that my lot in life was to eat and excrete and die. That's what it boils down to, and we can't even have those functions without being watched, whether it's by a shrink or by a sociologist or a cultural anthropologist, fields that I have a great deal of respect for. But I'm never going to walk into it, and it's not like, you know, like I said, it's not like there's anything hanky going on. No toe tapping, no river dance in the stalls, whatever, I don't care. But who wants to think about being watched? It really does sort of change the way... Well, let's put it this way. Home field advantage. Hold it till you get home. Because you never know when somebody's watching. Oh, did he wash his hands? Hey, look, that one didn't wash their hands. Reminds me of an old Alabama-Auburn joke. Alabama fan and an Auburn fan are standing at the urinal in the men's room. They both get done. And the Auburn fan goes over and washes his hands, and the Alabama fan doesn't. The Auburn fan says, you know, down at Auburn, they teach us to wash our hands after we've used the restroom. And the Alabama fan says, well, yeah, over at Alabama, they teach us not to piss on our hands. You know, who the hell is... stop it. Go to the phones. Phil's calling from Daytona. I'm sorry, Phil. I didn't mean to make you wait through that.
Hey, Bob.
How's it going?
Okay. I wanted to tag on to what Albert was saying earlier, but I just was checking my email, and our friend Sam Simpson, who ran for Congress, you know, a good friend of the Head On Radio Network.
Absolutely.
Your show in particular. We'll be on with Mike Malloy in the first hour tomorrow night. Anyone, you know, I don't know if I should be promoting.
Oh, absolutely, sure.
You know, for those who, anyway, if you want to, I just thought I'd mention that. But what Albert from Wisconsin was talking about, you know, you guys were going over to media and Iran, and he was talking about, you know, he doesn't want a U.S. attack on Iran to occur, and he's got children and everything. You know, I keep saying this, man, all this crap that's going on, the ultimate responsibility rests with us, we the people. And he was talking about how his friends don't even vote, you know, and this kind of, you know, keeping our constitutional republic and our, quote, our freedoms, you know, requires, you know, freedom isn't free, man. It requires our participation. And there is too much at stake now to be willfully ignorant and to not do more than what we're already doing. He was talking about his friends that don't even vote and how it's hard to talk to them, and they don't want to bother, you know. And I think for those of us who are in the know, Albert was saying to you know, try to have more discussions with your family and friends, you know, and wake people up to what's happening. And that ain't easy, man. That's scary. It's awkward. You risk.
That may be the hardest part of all.
Yeah, man. But it got to be done, man, because whether we like it or not, we've been given this responsibility, Bob, because we know better. And it truly is up to us, because we got a hell of a lot of people walking around, whether willful or not, staying detached from what's going on. And don't you think these guys aren't going to bomb Iran? And shame on us if we let it happen, because they've been telling us they're going to do it for quite a while now, and it costs money every day to keep those carrier groups over there in the Gulf, and they're not going to lay all this stuff out without using
it. Well, what did I see the other night, Phil? It has to happen within a certain time frame because of the feared public perception that it will have been done for strictly partisan political purposes if it's too close to November 2008. So that means the window is sometime between now and what, June?
You know, I don't know, man. All I know is that today, we had more U.S. soldiers who died for a lie, and for every U.S. soldier that dies, you know, you got, what, 100 Iraqi civilians, man. I was up in Washington this past week, and I was talking with, an Army Ranger who just came back, you know, and asking about what's going on over there, and he was basically just confirming what I suspected, man. They're just killing anybody and anything, man. You know, and these kids are over there every single day going on these damn patrols, and it's because our civilian leadership is putting them there. Yes, it is a genocide, you know, and we've got to stop being nice with our words, man. We've got to start using the appropriate words to describe all this stuff. And calling, you know, you were calling out the perverted U.S. prosecutor or whatever. You know, it's our responsibility as citizens to be. The media has been stolen from us, people, and you can't wait around for someone to return it to us, damn it. It's gone. We have to be the media ourselves and encourage and support and promote independent media like the Horn. You know, we've got to just participate in as much as possible in truth-telling, man. you know, and leading people to the truth. You know, damn it.
I know.
We've got to act more. We've got to do more. We've got
well,
to
engage people. Well, you said you were in D.C. Did you go up for the march, Phil?
Yes. But we drove up with Colonel Bob Bowman, you know, the fellow who used to direct the Star Wars programs under Ford and Carter. And then when Reagan was turning Star Wars, remember SDI, into an offensive weapon, he was the whistleblower that first came out because he used to direct the programs. And he was one of the founding members of Veterans for Peace, was its inaugural keynote speaker, and was a keynote, you know, the keynote speaker a number of times over the past 20 some odd years. And, you know, fighter pilot in Vietnam. He's dying of terminal cancer related to Agent Orange. And this guy did a 4-month tour on in his motorhome with his wife. He's 70 some odd years old. They went around the country. 4 months, 100-plus cities, you know. The folks listening, go to thepatriots.us. And he's up there marching in the halls of Congress, and he wrote an open letter to the Washington Post calling on the Pentagon, the people, to refuse an illegal order, you know. And you know what, Bob? I'm up there in Washington, D.C., and you're looking around. We need more people being involved, damn it. And if you're listening to this show, you can't say you didn't know.
No, and that's the thing. Most of the people.
This, I don't know how many times I'm on, you know, get the chance to talk with you. I would love to have one night do a survey of the listeners and ask them what, you know, let's see who's doing what and not doing what. You know, because we've got to call our own fellows on their apathy and hypocrisy, you know, and we've got to, if they ain't moving on their own, Bob, we got to get them to move, and it's not something you want to do, man. You don't want to risk confrontation. You don't want to risk uneasiness, man. But damn it, people are dying in our name. With our say-so, if we ain't acting, we're giving it our blood's on our hands, man.
If we
ain't taking action, Bob.
I know, and, you know, I mean, look at the, I mean, how many people were there in D.C.?
I don't know. I don't know if it was 100,000. You know, we went up for September 11th, you know, because Colonel Bowman, and I do hope people go to his website, thepatriots.us. And check out this guy's a true American hero with this guy's life, and he's dying of terminal cancer related to Agent Orange, and this guy, you know, Jesus, if this guy can do it, people, 4.83 hours of television per day to the American now, so I think we all gotta look at there's no excuse, Bob.
There's not. Phil,
nobody's going to come along and do it. Here we're talking about these guys
who
Iran.
Yeah, it's not going to happen unless the only people that can stop it are us.
And you know, hey, Martin Luther King said, there is such a thing as being too late.
Yep.
Dr. Martin,
and that's the risk
King,
we run.
You know, before
Phil, I got to go. We're slap out of time.
Okay.
I'm sorry I got to you so
thanks
late.
Thanks for everything, Bob. ThePatriots.us and Campus Anti-War Network. Check it out, people. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. Take care.
You too, Bob.
And the time has gone by all too fast, and we're right up against the top of the hour. And I thank you all just in the course of these 3 hours. You've taken us from $200 for the month of September to close to $400. Bless you, and thank you for your contributions. One last thing. I want you to go, if you've got some time, go to sfgate.com. Read the latest editorial by Mark Morford, Iraq Deep in Your Bones, A War That Isn't Really a War, The Great Humiliation That's Ours Forever, Is There Any Upside? There's some great liberal writing out there, and his is some of the most underappreciated. Drop him a line and tell him you heard about it on the horn. Wouldn't that be cool, have him hear from a few thousand people? Might sit up and take notice that there's a little liberal network out there slaving away over a hot mixer. We liberals have to stand together, don't we? Thank you for standing with us. Thank you, Agnes. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you, all of you, calling, emailing, sitting, chatting. Thank you. And I will talk to you soon. And always, 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 Gina, RMR, it's all for you.
This is the Quality News Network. Analysts expect the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates when it meets tomorrow. It'll be the first time it's done so in more than 4 years. Economists say the aim would be to prevent a recession driven by the credit crunch and housing slowdown. Former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan warned inflation will rise about 5% in the U.S. and Europe. However, he says it looks like the American economy will weather the slumping housing market without falling into a recession. President Bush named retired federal judge Michael Mukasey as his choice to be U.S. Attorney General, the post vacated by Alberto Gonzalez, who resigned due to the federal prosecutor's firing scandal. If confirmed, many see Mukasey as a stabilizing force for a Justice Department that needs it. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice promises a fair and transparent investigation into the shooting deaths of 8 Iraqi civilians by Blackwater security contractors. The Iraqi government ordered Blackwater to leave the country, putting more of a strain on U.S. forces. In Iraq, U.S. forces say they've arrested a man responsible for the death of an Anbar sheikh lobbying for peace in the region. France's Prime Minister François Fillon today said everything must be done to avoid the prospect of war with Iran. That comment was made just a day after his foreign minister said Paris and the world should prepare for the possibility of war with Iran over its nuclear program. Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf says he will resign from the military in order to run for re-election in November. The general seized power in a coup 8 years ago. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez threatened to close any private school that refuses to subscribe to his socialist government as it develops new curriculum and textbooks. Chavez's opponents accuse him of trying to indoctrinate young Venezuelans. Women in Saudi Arabia have banded